B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Yes, it does. It starts now. It's your Friday edition of the John Kincaid Show. The week before the week on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'd say the week before the week, which to me has gone incredibly slow.
1 week and 60 and a half hours. How's that work for you?
Well, how about we're 9 days from kickoff at 6:30?
Okay.
At the bottom of the hour.
Simplify it, I mean, Jesus.
We'll be 9 days away at the bottom of the hour.
I thought this week went pretty quick.
See, I did not.
Yeah, I thought it went like 24 hours in a day.
I thought it went really quick.
I did not.
I'll tell you when I really got pumped up was yesterday after we got done our meetings and stuff, and I was walking down the hallway, and Anthony called me in to jump on air with him. Our meetings and then talking to Anthony, like yesterday was you know how when like a space shuttle's going up or something, yes. You see the smoke starting to come out of the engines because it's getting close? The smoke started coming out of my engine yesterday, John.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
Well, you know what
I mean. I think the smoke's come out of Bob before as part of the show. But Anthony, a Winnebago across the country.
Yeah.
With Casey.
What do you see in the back seat?
I smell that. I'm just wondering the smell of the Winnebago.
I see a bunch of
food.
Yeah.
There's going to be food that's been sitting around.
Yeah.
There's going to be, with the two of them, you never know, there might be some stuff like, you know, being ripped. Like an air filtration system. If there's a company that, you know, has one of the portable ones that can do that. Coach, what are you picturing? Wrappers. I'm picturing wrappers everywhere.
Yeah. Like,
so you've got not only Casey and Anthony, but don't forget Jackie Bam Bam.
Oh, my gosh, too.
He's going to be in there, too. You remember the scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High where...
Yes.
Spicoli falls out of the van.
And smoke is following him.
And there's like empty beer cans and trash. That's going to be the Winnebago.
It's going to be like the Munsters pulling up. I said it's going to be. That gang, that is incredible. And leave it to Anthony Gargano to find a different, interesting way to enjoy the week leading up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It is my nightmare what they're doing. Christina goes, that sounds pretty cool. And I said, that would be my nightmare.
What, being in a Winnebago going cross country?
If we all to be in a confined space like that for that long, that would be my nightmare.
Yeah, it's tough enough getting through 4 hours with you Jagaloons, let alone, you know, being in a car for 4 days.
The space would be the problem for me.
I'm anxious to see when they leave, and I assume they'll be leaving in an early morning at some time. Coach, do you have any info on this?
Any idea of the departure?
Yeah. They're leaving on Monday sometime a little after 10 a.m.
Okay, so I'm anxious to see the Winnebago. It'll be a full-fledged party out in the parking lot. There'll probably be fire engines and stuff.
Well, I think I would hope if my cousin Joe Hunsaker's listening, I hope the Lower Marion Police.
Yeah, they should escort him out.
A police escort out of here, so Joe Hunsaker better be on that.
Yeah. Oh, shoot, we're not here on Monday.
We're not here. We're at Fairless Hills.
I'm going to have to stop past here.
I mean, there should be a police escort of some sort.
Yeah, there'll be a big celebration.
Who's driving?
I don't know. Are the three of them taking turns or are there hired people in this thing, Coach?
Yeah, they have a guy named Kyle who's going to be doing a lot of social media for them, and he's also going to be their
majority of the time driver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who do you least trust out of those guys driving?
Anthony.
I totally agree.
Because Anthony would be impatient. He'd be distracted.
He'd be sleeping.
And he might sleep.
Yeah. Like for people who don't, Anthony is a go 100% of the time. Kind of guy.
And then it crashes.
So there's been times where we've had meetings with big bosses when Anthony and I did the morning show together. And big bosses would be talking to us. And Anthony would start to fade. And, yeah, when he comes crashing down,
there ain't no warning.
So I don't think I'd trust Anthony. I think I'd just put him in the back, give him a case of beer, and say, you know, have at it, buddy.
So Kyle's going to be driving.
Yeah, Anthony can't see anyway.
No, he cannot.
He holds the phone right up on his eyes.
Have you ever seen this? Where he has to pull the corner of his eyes sideways to see something far away?
I've never seen
that. I'm just like, Ant.
That's incredible.
Seriously? He's like, yeah, whatever.
I just, It sounds really, really interesting and fun, and you won't want to miss it all next week.
And he'll be checking in with us, right, Coach?
I'm sorry. Those guys are going to be checking in with all of our shows throughout the day.
That's awesome.
Not us on Monday, because they don't leave till after our show's over, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I had to do the credentials for all of you guys for the NFL for Radio Row.
Sure, sure, sure.
So over the past couple days, as this whole adventure with Anthony and Casey started unfolding.
Because we always plan things around here really in advance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This happened days ago. I had to get headshots from those guys to put on their photo credentials.
Uh-huh.
It looked like a police lineup between Casey, Jackie Bam Bam, and Anthony.
Are you serious? I can't wait. I can't wait till they all arrive. First of all, does that have a shower in it? That Winnebago
have a shower
in it? I assume
so, yeah. I would assume
so. I don't know.
I mean, because, and you have to empty the potty.
Well, look, you know the other station that Casey works for?
Sure, it smells.
Like, we would get one that probably had a battery that would last us to Missouri. Those guys will
They're
going
to make sure it's top-notch.
There's going to be a point where Kyle, the driver's going to say, guys, sit back front and hit a button. It's going to start flying.
And it'll be like foot massage.
Oh, God,
will
yeah.
be going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I love it, Matt Hasselbeck. I laugh is that my old partner, Buck Ballou, once him and his family, they said, you know what would be fun? To rent a Winnebago and to take a cross-country vacation. So they rented one, loaded the family in, and Buck knocked the side mirror off, leaving the gate.
Yeah, that's not good. Sign.
Of the place.
It's a really good sign.
And knocked it off. They had to tape it with, like, electrical tape to keep it in place. They hadn't even left the garage yet where they were leaving.
Not a good beginning.
Yeah, it's not a good start. Hey, Football Fridays on the Fanatic, as all year long, presented by Pump Man Philly. If you need a water pump expert for your facility, 24/7 emergency repair or pump replacement, count on Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. So is this the weekend where everybody charges up? Like, do you have a, we got dinner plans tomorrow night with two other couples, excited to see them. But this weekend, I have literally made sure that it is not a scheduled weekend other than dinner.
I never know what's going on. You know, Donna told me yesterday we're going over to friends tonight for dinner or something, whatever. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm sure there's some plans somewhere with somebody.
Pat, you got a busy working weekend? I mean, we have Wake and Cake.
Yeah, just Wake and Cake.
That's it.
So Sunday I might go to the Temple game. Haven't decided.
Yes.
I was thinking of doing that with you. 6 o'clock.
That's
sucks.
A bad man.
6 o'clock sucks, man. It really does.
Yeah, for me, it does.
This is the first weekend they don't have 1 o'clock games and 4 o'clock games for football, and they don't take advantage of that.
Someone said to me that it's for TV. I'm like, oh, would you just shut up?
Stop.
I'm like, stop.
What?
What else is going on this weekend?
Like they said, Temple has, they scheduled the game for 6 for television, and I'm like, oh, shut up. They can play the Temple game whenever.
I'll tell you, take Villanova out of it, among the big five teams, Temple's on TV an awful lot.
They are.
If you can find your, you know, ESPN U's and your ESPN Pluses and FS1s.
The TV deal.
It's
the
a good
American
TV.
The American Athletic Conference has a TV deal.
No, they do. Okay, I didn't know that.
So all the games are on ESPN Plus, and then a select number on like ESPN.
ESPN 2.
It's really
a
good deal. It is. You can actually see them if you want. In the morning Mindbender, according to Hallmark, Coach says 9 million Americans will celebrate Valentine's Day by giving this type of gift. What type of gift is it? I'll go flowers, the obvious.
Yeah, I was going to do an obvious. I was going to say candy.
Okay, flowers and candy off the board. Pat?
Okay, well, you guys took some good ones off the board here.
You usually say like a swing.
All right, now let me interrupt before Pat answers.
Okay. All right.
I have in quotes, type of gift.
Okay.
So it is not an actual item like candy or chocolate.
Oh,
or
okay. So it's a sex coupon.
So normally I would go with toys,
but
I'll go with a plug.
How about a card? It's Hallmark.
I don't know. A hug.
How about 9 million people are going to buy Valentine's Day gifts for their pets?
Okay, that's just stupid.
If you walk into the Hallmark store.
They don't buy cards.
Which I did yesterday. I had to buy a card for a birthday card for somebody. There is an entire section over there for pets.
Of cards?
gifts. No, gifts.
Oh, gifts. Mm-hmm. Well, what are the gifts?
Well, they have like the
little chewy toys.
Yeah, the little chew toys or the bones and heart shapes.
See, now, I don't get that at Hallmark. We'll do, we do Three Dog Bakery, and we'll get Nikki a little, like a treat or something.
Yeah.
Some little treat. I got to pick up her treats, in fact, this weekend. She's run out of her little cookies. She does a poop, Bob. She gets a cookie. Until she poops, she doesn't get the cookie. So what if we worked with that with you?
Wait, what?
They make the little cookies at the Three Dog Bakery.
Barrels and barrels
but
of
you
cookies.
Got, but you, no, no, no. Once a day. She's
for
a,
me.
There's, no, yeah, for you. It would just be, we'd run out of them. But there, so we'll get that. We'll do that. Who's buying stuff at Hallmark for their dog?
9 million
Seriously.
People.
Seriously. That's ridiculous.
Coach just told us 9 million people.
By the way, Walmart has a great dog toy section. Like $1.50 and little do you know your dog doesn't care. Your dog does not care.
Your dog doesn't care that you
bought it at Hallmark.
Have you asked your dog?
Yeah, she loves every toy in her absolute toy box.
It's nice that you think that.
You think she's thinking, dad went cheap again.
Mm-hmm. So our dog's part pit bull.
Okay.
And our son Bobby rescued her, and, you know, he's the primary caregiver. Well, he's supposed to be. he'll go to get her food or whatever and always brings back, like, a little toy.
Yeah.
That thing is shredded within minutes.
Really?
I mean, he has one hard rubber thing that's good. That'll last. Everything else, that dog just rips apart.
Have you ever gotten the dog the Kong? You know what a Kong is?
No.
Pat, you know what a Kong is?
Yeah.
That you put... It's a hard rubber. They cannot chew.
Like yeah, that's the red thing.
And
that
it's
got
circular,
yeah.
And you can
and
put
Bobby
like peanut
puts
butter,
butter
in.
Oh yeah. God, yeah.
The dog will play with that forever.
It's gross. I don't want peanut butter there coming out on my floors and
there
stuff.
There we go. Hey, today, Jamie Lynch joins us on the John Kincaid Show. He comes your way today, 8 to 10. We'll be glad to have Jamie back in the house with us. And you can listen to Jamie's Daily Odds Pod, a 20-minute daily podcast where Jamie examines the lines of upcoming games, player props, futures, and the ups and downs of gambling. Light, quick, extremely informative, and you know it's entertaining if Jamie's involved. Presented by the Bet Parks Sportsbook app. So Jamie will be with us from 8 to 10 today. Julian Love of the Giants is trying to create himself a post-NFL career media job. So what these players will do is their agents will get them set up, and they'll come in and they'll set up when they have, you know, during the playoffs and everything, and they do these little tryouts. Julian Love seems like a good dude. He looks good on camera, so he's going to have a bright future. But they always want to, like, drop some bomb or say something that's going to make them memorable. So the Giants safety yesterday had something to say about why Nick Sirianni is successful. Listen.
He's a guy who really is doing a good job because he's not getting in the way of his team. He has an experienced roster from top to bottom, offense, defense.
You see this stuff, though? Like, what's your reaction as a player? And that guy's doing
it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I mean, he's in for a free ride right now. You guys can coach this team. And
Might not be suited for the Eagles anytime soon, but that's okay. There's 31 other teams. That's fine.
Exactly right.
Nick Sirianni's a free ride coaching the Eagles because he's got that great roster. So it's just a free ride. And more importantly, and we've talked about it before, if you're on one of the 31 other teams, you freaking hate Nick Sirianni. And then the video comes out yesterday of Jonathan Gannon before the NFC Championship game, and he drives by and he gives the, we're going to effing gut these guys.
Yeah.
And it goes viral yesterday, which, by the way, all over San Francisco, the San Francisco media just running with it and being like, what outrage? What kind of coach does this?
Where's the media member in San Fran that goes, oh, he's right.
I wouldn't run with that.
This coaching staff is brash, young, bold, and when you act like this, you better win. And they're in the they're in the Super Bowl. So that's awesome. But you better win. Don't do all the talking. Don't do all the posturing. Don't do all the for the cameras. And then have Andy Reid, who does things, and I believe more the right way, don't have him beat you.
So the only way they can have fun and be confident and cocky is if they win the whole damn thing. Something that this organization's done once before. Unfair expectation.
No, Pat, what I'm saying is, well, first of all, they're favored. They should win. And they have the better roster. They should win. Let's not do the underdog thing.
Let's not put masks on.
They're expected to win.
No, but the idea that if they lose, you're going to come in here the day after and go, well, no, they were. You can't sit there and say they were gutting people. I didn't say that. You just said.
No, I
you
didn't.
Better win.
No, I said you better win for the perception of other the entire league. You are looked upon as clownish.
I don't give a rat's ass about the other league.
I understand you
They're
don't.
All getting it.
I understand you don't. This is the kind of thing you got to do. And you also do give teams better. You put a target on your back as a franchise. I love that they are brash and bold because there are coaches. If they're coaching against us, Pat, I freaking hate them.
And would hate
every bit of it. And that to me is something just to watch for. By the way, and I do think, and I would prefer the way Andy Reid does it. I absolutely, by my preference, would prefer that my coaches don't make themselves the story, don't make themselves the target, don't put extra motivation on the other opposition.
It's different. And you know, a lot of people have problems with change. You know, it's different. You don't see, you know, I've never in my years of following sports have seen a assistant coach or head coach before a game look into a camera and a social media setting and say, we're going to, you know, do what he said.
Never.
Does it make you like them more? Probably.
Yeah, because
probably the rabid Eagles fans are going nuts, and that's cool.
Fun.
Like, I looked at it, and I chuckled the first time, and I'm like, wait, did he say what I think he said? And I went back. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Now, having been among, and all of us have been, circles of coaches, GMs, assistant coaches, all that, it's not the normal behavior.
No.
And it's not looked upon favorably, probably with, as Pat said, the 31 other coaches. And yeah, you can say you don't care. Will it have a trickle down effect in some way negatively upon the Eagles? I don't know. You're riding the wave of greatness now and all that stuff. But for them individually, it might. I don't know how it'll hurt the fandom at all.
You think referees like it?
I don't think they look at it like that.
Well,
I don't think
human.
Referees.
They're human.
Yeah, sure.
They're referees.
I think they roll their eyes, but they don't really say anything. I'll bet you there are a lot of coaches that saw it and said, like,
Bush League.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably.
There are many that said Bush League. No, I get you.
It's fun.
They're ours. They're ours, and it's great.
You know, it's not Bush League, meaning the damn Super Bowl.
No, absolutely is.
This coaching staff put it on the table.
Well, that's why I say.
So Gannon's loved now.
Well,
so now Gannon is like, let's not shoot him out of a cannon. We love Gannon.
It's a reactionary
He's
cannon.
One of ours.
Sure,
we
it's
love
the latest
him.
Thing he did.
Because he said F you to the San Francisco 49ers.
No. He said, we're going to effing gut these guys. It's different.
That is a little slightly different.
It was creative.
I think Hannibal Lecter said something very similar.
Yeah.
So now he's cool.
The only way it could affect anything is, all right, going for jobs down the line. Are you going to get an ownership group that's like, I want that guy because of that? Or do you have more ownership groups, GMs, whatever, that say, yeah, I don't need that in my organization? I don't know. Like I said, it's something different. Sirianni walking off the field and saying, how about them Eagles after they beat the Cowboys?
Now I have no problem with that.
I'm not saying
not, yeah,
see, I'm not
anything.
Talking about
right,
fans
right, right,
and all
right,
that.
Right.
I'm talking about people around the league. I don't know how they would look at it. I assume not favorably. Like, you know,
what if the NFC title game didn't go the way it went? And then that video surfaces.
I don't think that video ever surfaces.
You don't think somebody leaked
that? No, that was videotaped by Eagles fans that probably were three sheets to the wind at that point, and they were recently going through their videos on their phone, and they saw that and threw it up there. Like, there's a reason why we just saw it yesterday.
Well, no, I look at it another way. How about the Eagles lost 31-7, and a guy puts it out there to say, who the hell does this guy think he is?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think any of us would ever do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
What world do you live in, man?
It's that whole... You know. Yes, we've got the, like, petty society. It's great when they're your coach, when they're your staff, when you're having this success, it's great. When things don't go well, it's absolutely awful. It'll be awful. And so you've just better keep winning because you will be mocked for it. And more importantly, these guys will be looked upon. It is clownish behavior. that you would roll down your window and say that into a video camera, that's sort of clownish.
It kind of fuels, and somebody, our boy Vince Pellegrino, I think it was yesterday, texted me and said, oh no, it wasn't Vince, it was somebody else. How about this sets up for Eagles San Francisco opening night, Thursday night football.
That'd be fantastic.
No,
they don't play.
Somebody said
they don't play 49ers next year.
I think what probably happened was these guys were stuck in traffic. They looked to their right.
And they're like, it's Gannon.
It's Gannon. And, you know, they were probably screaming and yelling. And then when he caught up, that's what happened.
It was funny.
Yeah, because I think that some people thought that he's just driving in traffic, rolling his window down and telling random people
what the F and go.
Wells Fargo. You can see where
he does roll down his windows are tinted.
No, I know that.
He kind of rolls down and initiates it.
No, they probably got his reaction first. And then the traffic was going, and then when he caught up.
Yeah, he decided to
acknowledge them and let them know what was about to take place.
There is, well, he was prophetic. Let's put it that way. He really was.
They did.
He really was. They absolutely delivered. And I did find it funny is that Gannon's now he's loved. Now he's loved. And he must be saying, geez, I couldn't turn on the radio in this town till we were 13-1, hearing about what kind of an idiot I am and how I'm holding them back. And now I'm beloved because I told them, we're going to effing gut these guys.
Should have done it earlier.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been...
Where were you when you were 5-0? Yeah,
you know what he was doing? He was creating the best defense the most impactful defense in Eagles history. He was too busy to be cutting videos.
Yeah, the Eagles do play the 49ers next.
They do?
Yeah.
Where do they play them? Here?
I think it is here, but they play all first place.
Here, there, doesn't matter.
Here, there, anywhere. Make it happen.
I didn't even know that. See, there you go. The Eagles 2023 opponents. That'll be great. Here we go. Future Eagles opponents. Home. San Francisco. Wait a minute. No. 2023. Home. San Francisco 49ers. That would be it. The Thursday night game if you win the Super Bowl.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Or you've got home games with Buffalo.
Yeah.
Could end up being the Buffalo Bills. I can't see any of the other ones unless they wanted to. I don't think they would do that to Dallas again.
Nah, I don't think you're doing a division game to start. It's something different. I think this just cemented it, though.
That would be a great one.
Yeah, and if San Fran signs a quarterback in the offseason, like if Derek Carr goes over there or something and it's a whole different thing. Yeah, you got your storylines all
set up. It's all written up for you.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's even Kyle Shanahan and them, you know, doing the. And John Lynch. I'd like to play the Eagles with our starting quarterback. Which one, John?
Bring him on.
Which one of the four that you couldn't protect this year? That you couldn't come up with a blocking scheme to keep healthy? Which one of those quarterbacks? Is it Jimmy G? You're throwing him out the door. Is it Brock Purdy? He's probably not back for opening night. Which one of your four? You mean one you got to go out and buy because you keep getting quarterbacks killed because your offensive line sucks? Could you explain to us which one it is like to play with the Eagles? Because I'm not sure. Because last week you were sniffing around Tom Brady. So just let that be known. Hey, the Sixers head out on the road. We'll get into that. And we'll have more of that coming your way. We'll have a chance to get in with you there. Bradford White Water Heaters brings you the 6 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show. Bradford White's here for the pro. So much more. And what do you think about the Gannon video and stuff like that? If you want to jump in, 610-632-0975. John Kincaid Show on 97.5. The Fanatic. Everybody loves free food. Well, at The Fanatic, we get food from our partners all the time, and we love it. Imagine your pet. Well, Pets Plus Naturals, the home of free pet food. And that's where you want to be picking up toys and stuff like that if you're going to get them a gift for Valentine's Day. Pets Plus Naturals, the home of free pet food with Paw Points. You earn free food and cash back on every single purchase. That's why for over 35 years, Pets Plus is Philly's favorite family-owned pet store. You get Paw Points. That gives you free pet food, cash back on purchases, and they've made it their mission to save as many cats and dogs as possible. That's why every animal that's available for you at Pets Plus is not a dog or cat that you're going to buy. It's a dog or cat that you adopt instead. And these animals are cared for by vets, given proper nutrition, a lot of love. They're in tip-top shape, and they're waiting to join your family. Pets Plus Natural, locally owned and operated for over 35 years. There's locations all over the area. There's one near you, I guarantee it. And they feature free delivery in some areas. Visit PetsPlusNatural.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic as the week before the week concludes here on the show. And the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, the absolute best in-game betting experience during the big game week. Download it, the Bet Parks app now at betparks.com. Make sure you are aboard. Jamie Lynch joins us at 8 o'clock today. We will clown around with our friend Jamie.
I'm a big Woody.
I thought that.
I do like balls.
You do, but it's okay. It's whatever it is. We're gonna have a lot of fun with Jamie. Like the hat. Is that a new hat, Bob?
Yes, it is. It was given to me by my friend Anthony. Nice.
What a nice thing, Anthony.
Oh, it's got
Anthony DiLoretta.
It's Anthony DiLoretta. Yeah, it's nice and warm and fuzzy, and it gets cold in here sometimes. So the people that might be watching, or you just bringing it up,
right?
For some reason, the temperatures can't be regulated in our building. Like, you can walk a hallway back behind our studio and it'll be 95 degrees. Three more steps later, it's like 40. This studio, it's either 100 or like 25 degrees.
Couldn't it be ghosts?
So,
Don't they say you walk through cold spots?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I thought that you walk through cold spots. Could there be, dead bodies that are lurking around this place or something?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, probably.
That, yeah.
There's dead bodies of a couple of failed shows. If we continue down this road, we might be next.
We might be haunting the next one.
So, a little dirty laundry here. I witnessed something on the break there.
Sir.
What? I got you.
We have to hit the music.
I know.
Let's hit it. Let's hear it.
Oh, let's air out our dirty laundry.
What was it?
So, we have some fun in between segments, whether it's throwing a tennis ball or, whatever we may do. The hacky sack guys.
The sack pack.
Sack pack suffered an injury.
Someone
got seriously injured, had to walk off, limping, go over to the window, slight little...
I'm guessing Connor.
No.
No?
No. It was the schmoozle over there in the other studio. Coach yeah.
Coach is injured?
Yeah, they're in the middle of a... Not a bad little run. They had about 13, 14. So, you kind of go all out to try to get the record.
The
record is 28, I believe.
That's
so
correct.
It goes up near the wall. Coach tries to get it, kicks the wall, corner
like
of the wall.
Bitch.
There's a big 97.5 the Fanatic thing there, and he went away limping like a bitch.
Wow, Coach, we'll get you into stretch zone. They'll get that all worked out.
Are you okay now?
Yeah.
Feel a little
better?
Yeah. Big toe's a little numb right now.
Oh, it's your big toe.
Yeah, I kicked the wall pretty hard.
Which isn't good. Yeah, the damage to a toe can affect every single thing you try to do.
When we're in the hacky circle, you go all out.
Yeah, really I would love to say it's impressive, but
no, it's not. I mean, it is a little sad. It is slightly sad.
But they, they're good people.
While the Eagles get ready to go to Arizona on Sunday, the Sixers head out on a road trip tonight, San Antonio, Sunday with the New York Knicks. There is an air about this team right now, and then they will have a big showdown with Boston while we're in Arizona Wednesday. That'll be an early game for us, like late afternoon.
Yeah.
A little late afternoon, maybe a cocktail, watch the Sixers.
Maybe.
Take on the Celtics, like a good deal. But, like, to me, these are good measuring sticks. I always know that Joel Embiid, when he's going to be playing at the Mecca, like on Sunday, he's going to be wired. He always is.
Yeah, here's hoping he's out there playing.
He loves that big stage.
Yeah, of these three games. So you're at San Antonio tonight. 8 o'clock start. I'm doing all Eastern times. 8 o'clock tonight in San Antonio. And then you go 6 o'clock on Sunday.
Yes.
A little bit different. They'll probably fly to New York tonight right after the game because the guys do like New York. And get some good rest on Saturday. Be ready to go Sunday.
Some
and then
good
I believe
rest.
It's Tuesday. Yes. Mm-hmm. Tuesday,
no, Wednesday.
I believe.
Wednesday
in Boston?
Yeah, it's Wednesday in Boston.
Okay.
I would think they'd come home.
Yeah.
They're not going to spend that time on the road. Really?
Sunday, come home Sunday night, leave Tuesday. You might come home.
You get two nights in your own bed.
Yeah, so.
You gotta be able to do that.
It's an interesting little jumping down to Texas, coming back up north. Like, it's weird to go that far in NBA schedules to play one game. Usually when you go to Texas, you do the little Texas swing or something, or an Oklahoma City gets thrown in there. But just to go down there for one game
is weird.
And then coming back up is a little strange. So whether that has an effect, I don't know. But
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Kendrick Perkins
spoke on ESPN yesterday when the word came out about the NBA All-Star reserves, and he was pissed.
You know who's the biggest snub of them all? It is James Harden. Like, James Harden is averaging 21 points, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds right now. So disrespected. When you look at Boston, when you look at Brooklyn, when you look at Milwaukee, all of those teams have 2 All-Stars. My problem is this. We asked James Harden to take a lesser role. He's done that. And accept that Joel Embiid is the leader of that team. And he also accepted the role of being the point guard of that team. And he's having an outstanding season, and he's leading the league in assists. How is he not on the All-Star ballot? Like, the coaches should be drug tested for that.
Or,
wow, drug tested.
Or the coaches, Bob, don't like James Harden. And this is somebody getting their, gets their pound of flesh and says, I don't like the dude. I'm not going to, see, this is where these personal agendas come into it. James Harden, I couldn't believe it when I saw he wasn't an All-Star. You've got to be kidding me. I mean, to me, this is every single thing that even me, as a Sixers fan, was saying, let me see James Harden do this. He's done it, and he's done it exceptionally well. How the hell is he not an All-Star?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's got to be personal agenda.
It has to be. I don't know about that either. Looking at the other guys, are there some guys that belong that don't? Do you have to get a guy from every team? Or some guys, you know, usually you would say, well, a guy like DeMar DeRozan, he's been in the league a while, but so is James Harden.
DeMar DeRozan, you know, doesn't deserve it ahead of him.
No, I mean, you're talking about, at times, the second, third best record in all of the NBA, and you're getting one sub that goes to the All-Star game? Okay. You know, what he put on his Instagram thing, disrespect. It hit Harden a little bit, and then he says, well, guess what? I get the whole week off. Who cares?
He'll be in Vegas. My guess is you'll see James in Vegas.
This is good news for the Sixers. I'd rather have him rested than playing.
I don't know how much resting he's going to be doing in Vegas.
You can rest.
He's not running 40 minutes a game. That's
exactly. I saw a tweet, and J.J. Redick kind of backed it up, that basically these coaches do not give one rat's ass about the reserves. And they'll come up with reserves in about 5 minutes, and people are going to be left off, and they don't really care because they're busy doing this crazy thing called coaching their own team. So maybe that had something to do with it.
Might.
But I mean, as a Sixers fan, I love it. You're going to get pissed off James Harden tonight. I'll probably put money on a triple-double tonight.
That's not bad.
He's going to go off motivated. And he's going to get a couple days of rest. Or I should say, John, in your case, relaxation.
Yeah, he's going to have
relaxation.
Pat, there's some ways to relax in Vegas.
He's doing some community events helping out single mothers.
I guarantee you he'll be doing that. He'll be doing his community outreach. James's community outreach is famous. $1 at a time.
That's it. George Washington is his favorite president.
You know, there's some, as I've told you before, super competitive guys in the league. And, you know, it's the LeBrons and the Kobe's back in the day and all that. And they go to All-Star Weekend. It's part of their obligation. But then when, you know, it comes to game time, after a little while, they put their game faces on. There's other guys that are younger that are just glad to be among those guys. And then there's guys like Harden and that have been there a lot. And you do wonder sometimes if it's a pain in the ass to have, because that's a long. I remember Kobe walking through our hotel lobby one time. I was at an All-Star Weekend. I don't know where we were, maybe Houston or something, and watched Kobe play the night before. And a game that went late. It was L.A.
Okay, okay.
Flying into Houston for his obligations early that next morning. And then having to be at
a party, practice,
appearances, right. All of these. Like, it's a long weekend. It's a business long weekend. So I always wondered, covering those, looking at some of the perennial All-Stars, if they're like, yeah, I'd rather just chill.
I mean, I'd rather go to Vegas for the weekend if I'm, what, you get 4 nights off or something?
Oh, no, way more than that. Yeah, so they'll play there. They'll play their last game on Tuesday or Wednesday and then not play for another week.
Man.
And oftentimes the teams don't reconvene until 2 days, maybe the day before their next game.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That is great.
I mean, you had to watch yourself walking into a locker room after the last game before the All-Star break. Those guys were dressed and running the hell out of there. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Pat, I like your idea, though. Be all over the James Harden numbers.
Oh,
a motivated Harden.
Yeah, I'm putting overs on most of his stats tonight.
Hey, Jackson Hewitt guarantees you your biggest tax refund plus a chance to double your refund with the Double Your Refund Sweepstakes. No purchase necessary. U.S. residents 18 or older who file a 2022 federal return. It ends 4/2/23. I was talking to our boy Ron Davis from Davis CPA Group going, we got to get together and do a little tax thing. And he's like, okay, we do it after the Super Bowl. We got too much on our plates. I'm like, absolutely.
Is Ron going out to the Super Bowl?
No, I think he's going to be here.
Oh, okay.
I think he's going to be here for it. But he ain't doing any taxes. I can promise you that.
Okay.
I wouldn't want Ron doing my return Super Bowl weekend because he's going to be enjoying the festivities, I'm sure, as we all will, coming up next weekend. Is there another former Eagles coach? Now, think of it this way. Is there another former Eagles head coach that you would want to coach this roster in this spot? Now, Nick Sirianni's done a spectacular job. But I'm trying to figure out where Nick Sirianni is going to start to fit in the hierarchy of Eagles coaches. Because one thing we do know is that despite all of his success, Doug Peterson still gets put upon. Like, you ever hear Anthony and Chunas do it every day? You want Philly, Philly? Like, Anthony sort of gives that backhanded, like almost like what Julian Love said. Doug was along for the ride. Nick called the play and Doug gets the credit for it and everything. Is Nick Sirianni looked more on right now like an Andy Reid, or is he looked more upon like a Doug Peterson? Gut instinct.
He's in diapers compared to Andy Reid.
No, but I mean, talking about more like when Andy was here.
Yeah, he's still in diapers to me. I mean, he's coached 37 NFL games. And the fact that he and Doug Peterson went to the Super Bowl in their second season.
Amazing.
Phenomenal. And unexpected. Like, we didn't expect that 17 team to do what they did. And I'm not just talking about winning the Super Bowl. That was a borderline playoff team in our minds. And then they went on the run that they did. Who would I rather have?
Is there anyone you'd rather have for this group?
I don't think I can say it because when you have a team doing what they did this year, it's all encompassing. Is Andy Reid a better coach than Nick Sirianni? Sure he is. There's, no question about that. But for this team right now and everything that's put together the way it is, I honestly would say I don't think I would change out any coordinator, any head coach, or anything like that with this team.
It's a perfect answer, Bob.
No,
I think it is because as I look at it is Nick Sirianni understood the secret sauce for this team. For the personalities in the locker room.
Big part of coaching.
And Nick Sirianni was smart enough to go, okay, he pushed the right buttons. And Pat, and we said like earlier with the Gannon thing, these guys know how to connect. They know how to connect with that room, with those players. It's amazing the job that they've done.
They have a locker room that's feeling themselves. They know they're good. And they have no problem telling you. And I'm with you, Bob. I can't think of a coordinator or coach. I mean, I don't know how you could. As John laid out, they're favorites in the Super Bowl. They were 14-3. Coaching staff, you're not going to pick another one.
I heard a caller yesterday on our station saying something along the lines of, I could only imagine if Jim Johnson was coming up with a game plan for this game with this personnel. And I'm like, really? Jonathan Gannon and this coaching staff, they get you to a Super Bowl and you're lamenting the Jim Johnson days? Stop it.
I love Jim Johnson. I love him.
I know, but stop.
But I've never seen a defense have this many sacks.
No. Ever. Jim Johnson's defense didn't do this.
And he had talent.
He did.
He did, but I mean.
He didn't do this.
I don't think he has as much talent as Gannon does this season, but I mean, his secondary was damn good.
Look, Jim Johnson, Bud Carson, those guys are legendary coordinators. Are they better than Jonathan Gannon? Probably throughout a long career.
Yes, so far.
But Gannon's still in diapers, and he's done what he's done with this group really, really well. And as Pat said, they're favorites in the Super Bowl, and they're maybe not even arguably the best Eagles team of all time.
I think they are the best Eagles
team. So, like, how much are you looking to change? I don't know. I don't know. I love guys that have been in the league for a long time and have proven it over and over and over again what they can do. Gannon isn't that yet, but for this specific team, no, they're 16-1 with their starting quarterback. I'm really not changing anything.
A spectacular job by this coaching staff. They've done an amazing job. Hey, tonight, Spurs and the Sixers, 8:00 on the Fanatic. You don't want to miss it right here on 97.5 in Cooney's Corner. Bob wants to know, what are you looking for?
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
Yeah, we kind of went situational yesterday when talking about this game and saying, you know, behind in the fourth quarter, ahead in the fourth quarter, where would you rather be? Going a little further, I think Kansas City's going to score some points. I don't think the Eagles' defense is going to hold them to 7, 10, anything like that. I think they're good enough that they're going to score some points. They have injuries at their wide receivers position.
All over.
All over the place. One ruled out yesterday. So they have that. But they still have Patrick Mahomes. And we saw what they did against Cincinnati. And we've seen what they've done all year long. So saying that, what kind of game do you think it's going to be? And what kind of game do you prefer as far as scoring goes? Because I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a 7, maybe a 10-point game towards the end. But I think it's going to be a close game. Is a shootout okay with you? Does it have to be lower scoring? Where do you think this Super Bowl needs to be, and where do you think it will be?
I've got some numbers on this later that might be a little key to this. I think you can't. I don't want to see a game where both teams are in the 30s. I do not want to see that.
Now, that I was anticipating somebody saying that.
I do not want it.
And honest to God, those were the exact words, Anthony and I talked about this yesterday, that were said before the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl. They can't win a shootout against Tom Brady. And I'm not proving, okay, I'm not going against you at all.
No, guess what? I would have said that if you asked me before the Super Bowl, could they win a game in the 30s where both teams are in the 30s? I would have said no.
Yeah, and that's what gave me a little bit of comfort when I was thinking of this. Those exact words before the Eagles-Patriots, just as you said, John, and rightfully so, I don't think they can win a shootout. And they went and did it. Pat, can they go out and win a shootout against this Chiefs team, and do you think that's what it's going to be?
I can't say no to that. I can't say no, because as you just said, I saw them win a shootout against Tom friggin' Brady. So
a different team, though.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I've seen it. How can I sit there and say, no, they can't win a shootout against Patrick Mahomes, who's on a bum ankle in the Chiefs, when they beat a healthy, it was 5 years ago, but they beat a healthy Tom Brady. I saw the impossible. You beat Belichick and Brady.
It still doesn't seem real.
It doesn't. And they were healthy, and there was no excuse on why they just got beat that day. So, yeah, they can absolutely win in a shootout. They can win any way they want.
What do you think is going to happen in this game? Is it going to be kind of... Well, do you agree with me that it's going to be a pretty close game?
Yeah, I mean...
We're not doing predictions. Yeah.
Gut instinct, though.
Okay, so better if it's a lower scoring game in the 20s, or it doesn't matter?
Better for the Eagles if it's lower scoring.
Okay.
I think there's no question you want a lower scoring game.
Here's what scares me about that. If it's a lower scoring game, to me, it kind of might mean, and all these thoughts are going to come to fruition by next Friday, but it means to me that the Eagles offense isn't humming for some reason, because there's no reason they shouldn't put up high 20s to 30s on this Kansas City team.
What was the final of the game we went to? Was it 24-21 in Arizona?
I thought it was like 20-17.
No, it was definitely a field
goal. It was a field goal at the end. They were trying to tie it.
I don't know. I think you're right, John. I think it was 24-21.
Like, I think like 24-21 or something like that.
There's a way to look these things
up. There's a machine.
Yes.
If only we had an app that could tell us that.
You know what? I have it in the back
like,
of my phone.
To me, I look at it and I say...
20-17.
20-17. I don't want 20-17. On Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, if the Eagles have 20, I'm all right.
Yeah, I don't want 20-17. That's too much agita. I want to see the Eagles offense humming. Really humming. That would be better.
That'd be fun.
It'd be a lot more
fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
I think they'll be all right.
You think they'd be all right at the offense?
I think this team is going to put up points, and I think, yes, I think they will be humming.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Homing?
Humming.
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 Okay. I said humming.
I thought you said homing.
No.
By the way...
Not our buddy Tristan Homing.
Good man.
By the way, Coach, that was one of the... Coach does not like whistling. So I found this story yesterday because it was part of the, I think, the Big Talkers segment. You know that spouses... Coach hates whistling.
And foot tappers.
Coach doesn't like foot tapping. Coach doesn't like whistling. One of the things that spouses don't like is humming.
I thought you were going to say one of the things spouses don't like is spouses.
Yeah, well, is humming. Whose spouse hums?
Who's walking around the house?
Yeah, humming.
I constantly sing.
Yeah, but you don't. Really, you hum?
I'm constantly.
I've never known you to hum.
Really?
My kids get. I'm different at home than I am here.
He was out in the hallway going, Master of the House.
You're likable.
Exactly.
You're very likable.
I listen to concerts every day. Like, I have a routine that at 3 o'clock every day, I put in my headset and listen to a concert, and I do work around the house.
What kind of concert?
It could be like a Green Day concert. Springsteen really? Obviously is on there. Yeah, I just grab a concert, whatever I feel like doing.
Dweezil
or I'll
Zappa?
Put up... Huh?
You big Dweezil Zappa fan?
Well, I used to do Frank Zappa, but I don't
Moon
know much
Unit?
About dancing. That's why I write the song.
Nobody's listening to
one of my legs is shorter than the other, both of my feet are long. You know who wrote a song the other day that was absolutely phenomenal?
Who?
Our own Patrick Egan.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know how we can do this or if we can do it or whatever, Pat, but... Yeah, so he wrote a song the other day. Actually, you tell the story, Pat, because
I'll speed this up because we've got a break. But
yes.
Basically, went down the hall, visited our buddy Donnie over at the country station.
Okay.
And he wants to create a boy band. And he said that the boy band was called Boy Story, a Toy Story-based boy band. And the first song was going to be name on the Bottom of My Shoe, because that's, you know,
right.
And then in about 45 seconds, I created the hook. But then we needed some, so I created the first stanza of the lyrics.
And he showed me the video yesterday.
I like
it
this.
Is absolutely awesome.
I went in the lab yesterday and recorded it, Bobby. So,
oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you leave out bad words?
I don't think there are any bad words.
Okay, yeah, we got to play it for this.
So you're trying to ditch us for Candy Winters?
I'm just trying to set up my post-radio career.
Okay.
I actually got a text from our old program director, Matt Nahagian.
Yes.
And I will show you guys a text. This is not for a bit or anything, but... He was like, what the hell is this?
Really? That is good.
He wasn't a fan of it.
It's pretty cool.
All right, coming up, Jerry Jones is trying to convince you the Eagles aren't on the right track. What a loser. John Kincaid Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Window Nation has a great deal right now that is going to keep you warm. It's going to keep you warm because of the fact you're not going to be paying those outrageous heating bills when you finally trade out your windows at Window Nation. But you're saying to me, John, you have no idea what kind of windows I have, what size, what style, what color. Well, that doesn't matter because Window Nation has every size, every style, every color you could ever imagine. Did you know you can save up to 30% on your heating bills by trading yourselves out and getting new Window Nation windows? Did you know you could also be eligible for a federal tax credit of up to $500? Well, just how about this great deal? Pay no money, none, nothing down, zero payments, 0% interest for 24 months. So 2 full years, you keep your wallet in your pocket. Window Nation has the most amazing discounts available for you now. Go to 866-90-NATION. Give them a call after you've done your window shopping online at windownation.com. Change out those windows. It's about time. Take advantage of this spectacular offer from my friends at Window Nation.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Seven o'clock hour, the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by the all-new Bet Parks app. It's a sports book and casino in one sleek, easy-to-use app in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. You want to make sure you're a part of it. Get that Bet Parks app downloaded now. New users can get up to $750 in sports book bonus back if their first bet isn't a winner. So this is the absolute perfect time to get acquainted with the Bet Parks app. And because of that, one James E. Lynch Jr. will join us today at 8 o'clock. So we'll have Jamie Lynch joining us in studio today. Thanks to Bet Parks. We are glad to have that set up today. So looking forward to it. It's going to be a big week. Pat, we were talking about earlier, you other than just doing Wake and Cake, you've got a very low-key weekend?
Yeah,
ice cream movies?
I can't think of anything on the docket, really. Probably try to get some stuff done for my YouTube stuff, and then maybe go to the Temple game.
Yes.
Although it's Bob and me both late. It's just 6 o'clock kind of sucks.
I just don't understand.
Yeah, you're not going to take Jack, right? That's a little...
I was trying to,
gets late for him, right?
A little bit. I mean, I could probably swing it, but you get home, and it's, all right, right to bed, and he's not into that.
The whole
getting home and being like, hey, when we get home, you're right to bed. He needs a process of kind of winding down and following a Temple basketball game. It's not there's no process.
Because he's going to be hanging with Hooter.
Yeah.
He's going to see Hooter. He's going to be cheering. So
he's going to be giving those Cougars the business.
He'll be all over it.
He doesn't like Calvin Sampson.
Well, who would like Calvin Sampson?
Oklahoma fans.
A cheater.
Sampson.
A cheater.
Houston fans.
Cheater. Indiana fans don't.
Indiana, no. He was kind of a disaster
cheater.
There.
Cheater. He's a cheater. So it's documented he's a cheater. I can't root for Kelvin. Hey, Bill joins us on the Fanatic. Bill, good morning. Hi, Bill.
Great show, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
I enjoy listening to you guys in the morning. You guys keep talking about the offense, which I totally agree. I can believe our offense putting up points on that defense, but I think you guys keep forgetting the part about how good our defense is and how undermanned Holmes is. Remember the Tampa Bay Super Bowl that they lost 31-9. Think about that. And he had Holmes and Kelsey that Super Bowl. And Tampa Bay, which I believe our defense is better than that Tampa Bay.
He was missing three offensive linemen that day.
And he's missing two out of this year, isn't he not?
No, I don't think he's missing two. It was totally different. They got banged up in the AFC title game that year.
They did.
It's different. Right, and they're banged up. And believe me, the Chiefs are banged up. The Chiefs are really banged up. So I get you. I think it's going to be a big one, Billy. I think it's a big one. Here's the Kansas City Star, J.J. Smith-Schuster. J.J. Smith-Schuster was removed from the game and was on the sidelines having his knee tamed up in the AFC Championship game. He was only on the field for just 22 routes. Kadarius Toney. After four snaps and three routes were run, Kadarius Toney caught a pass, and when he made a move, he slipped and fell and then hopped off the field. Mecole Hardman, with a pelvis injury. He was asked after the game about what happened, and he said he re-aggravated his pelvis injury. He's hoping with 2 weeks to recover that he would be healthy enough. Chiefs are banged. I mean, they're big time banged up going into this game.
Yeah.
Those are three big weapons.
Yeah, they are. I hear what Bill's saying. No question about it. And we talked about that yesterday when their offensive line was banged up and they just didn't look the same against Tampa Bay. It could be something the same come next Sunday. You have to go in, though, anticipating, because he is so good, that Patrick Mahomes is going to put up some points. I'd put it this way. I'd be shocked if the Eagles held them in single digits.
I would be too.
Anything under 17, I'd be really, really happy. I just think he's going to put up some points. But
the number 20 has been in my mind all week thinking about this game. That if you can keep the Chiefs to 20, there ain't any way you're losing.
I would agree with that.
There's no way you're losing. Two touchdowns, two field goals, there's no way you're losing.
I would be kind of surprised if the Eagles couldn't put up three touchdowns on this defense.
Correct. I feel good about it. I really do. I'm feeling good about the game, but it's way too early for the prediction game. But it's not too early to start thinking about nifty 50s and their game day party trays.
Never. You have my attention.
Exactly. Chicken nugget and chicken finger trays are available in a variety of flavors daily. You can order online at nifty50s.com or call your local restaurant. And if you get those nifty 50s trays, Pat, then you go in and you say, well, I've got to have a milkshake. I have to.
Yeah.
I can't go to nifty 50s. And not get one of their great milkshakes.
That's just dumb. If you go there and you don't, I mean, they got like 97 milkshake flavors. Like, come on.
I mean,
be smart about this. Be logical.
Those milkshakes, they bring people to the yard.
That's a different kind of milkshake, dude.
They really.
We talked about this. Completely different.
Well, you didn't make me the cheat sheet of, so I know what the kids are saying, Pat.
I just want to let you know, like, I personally wouldn't sing that.
You wouldn't be singing
in public, but unless you're into that, which I'm not judging.
Okay, there's anything wrong with that. Jerry Jones is so funny. First of all, he loves the fact of, you know, can I do anything to keep the Cowboys in the headlines? And he's now trying to convince his fan base that the Eagles rolled the dice like the Rams did in 2021 in order to try to win a championship. He said, anyone who thinks I won't take a chance has misread the tea leaves, but I'm real hesitant to bet it all for a year. There's a lot of things that can happen for that year. So in essence, we're seeing a couple of teams, the Eagles and the Rams, that have had some real success putting it all out there, but they'll be paying for it later. Says if you miss the 1 year you go with a chance, you got a long way to go. From my general experience, it's better to stay aggressive, but take your time. And build. nice to see Jerry Jones in his 28-year build, Pat. 28 years of building for Jerry Jones.
I got to give him credit because at his age, to play the long game like this, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. I don't think it'll pay off, but it's interesting.
He called Tom Selleck yesterday for the reverse mortgage. So he's really going for it. There is nothing about the Eagles of 2022 that resembles the Rams of 2021. The Eagles have not mortgaged their future to make this run for a Super Bowl. The Eagles do have a lot of guys that they're going to have to make decisions on, but they have tons of draft capital. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, my first thought was this. My God, if I'm a Dallas fan, I am so embarrassed. Seriously, this is what my owner's talking about? All the crap that's going on down there, the fact that you haven't been in the playoffs in 29 years or whatever, not the playoffs, conference championship,
right,
Super Bowl.
28 years.
Like, why the hell are you worrying about anybody else's business? And now you're an expert on telling other people how to do their business? Look at the crap show you have down there, and you're going to go off on that, huh? Like, I mean, what's the name of the dude from Camden that calls here, the Cowboys fan?
Tyrone,
yeah.
And we love Tyrone.
I wonder if Tyrone and the other minions that are Cowboys fans, aren't you embarrassed about your organization? I mean, it's ridiculous. Who the hell is Jerry Jones? It's laughable. It's laughable that he's going to give his opinion on other organizations while he, again, is sitting home watching Super Bowls and conference championships.
The Eagles have been to 7 NFC championship games since Dallas has been to their last one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
laughable.
It's ridiculous. I will give RJ Ochoa, one of the Blog and the Boys, who is one of the voices that covers the Cowboys quite prominently, flat out saying it. Cowboys fans, the Eagles are the gold standard that you want to try to emulate. The Giants have won some Super Bowls, but the Giants also then have these large gaps where they're just atrocious. He said the Eagles are the ones constantly in the mix, constantly winning, finding a way to sustain it. And now there's a lot of Dallas media that's actually starting to warm to this to put pressure on the Cowboys to say, why can't you be more like the Eagles?
Yeah, I honestly was questioning myself if I was one of the media members with Jerry Jones yesterday. And I know how tough it is for the Dallas media down there. If you're going to get accessibility, you kind of have to bite your tongue on some questions you might want to ask. But I honestly think it might have come out of my mouth of, why are you looking at other organizations that are doing very well over the years when you haven't been to a conference championship in 28 years? Isn't there more to do here than to look at how people are doing things successfully elsewhere?
How about what best practices have you learned from those franchises? How about that one?
Yeah.
I would have returned something like that. Like, what's the best practices that you've learned?
I hear what you're saying, that you're suggesting they didn't do it the right way. But what have they done the right way that you've put in your back pocket?
Because they keep finding a way to go to the NFC Championship game and you can't do it.
Well, the fact that the organization, it's got to be, I mean, doubly embarrassing for them because this organization looked like they were in the toilet 2 years ago. They had fired their Super Bowl winning coach. They hired a guy that nobody was interviewing. They had to get rid of the franchise quarterback they signed to a long-term contract and need a lot of money to do it. And in 2 years' time, they're back in the Super Bowl of 14-3 and favorites.
I can't believe it.
Honestly. If I was a Cowboys fan, I'd question if I ever want to watch football again.
And now, too.
Luckily, I'm not.
Why in the world would you say before the draft that he also went on to say, yeah, we're going to draft a quarterback. We're looking to draft a quarterback this draft. Why are you saying that when you know you're Dak's the quarterback? Why are you saying it? Are you saying it to say, and he didn't say, because I want to build up depth. I want to make sure we've got somebody in the wings that can take over later if something happens. Why in the world are you doing that? Like, what's your problem?
I don't know. Who cares? I think it's funny. I really do. I look at it and I hear him talk, and the more I hear it, I just think to myself, God, what is it like to be a Cowboys fan? You have to be embarrassed. I mean, this guy can't realize that he is in his own way in trying to make that organization better. And as I said earlier, it's absolutely laughable. Eagles fans are at a place where you can just blow it off and say, yeah, they're so inconsequential. It's almost like anytime anybody brings up the Cowboys, well, tell me when they're important and relevant, then we'll talk about them. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we kind of saw this in Philly with Ed Snyder. You get these old guys that are very hands-on, that own the team, that are getting way up there in age, and they get bloodthirsty for a championship.
You think it's desperation?
And they get desperate, and they start making bad decisions, like Ilya Brizgalov, 15-year contract, when people in Phoenix didn't like him. And they start making rash decisions, and it costs them. And I think it's happened in Dallas, and it happened here in Philadelphia. We lived it. We just lived it with the Flyers instead of the Eagles.
We're heading to Arizona next week. We'll be broadcasting from Radio Row Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And all of our Super Bowl coverage is presented by Rally House. Get to Rally House. Get all your Eagles gear for the big game. Rally House. It's your city. It's your house. It's your Rally House. We'll be at the Rally House in Fairless Hills on Monday morning. So you can come on by as it's send-off week and grab some gear and do that. I was in Rally House in Exton yesterday, right next to the stretch zone. So I went over. They are stacked with NFC Championship, Super Bowl gear, and everything else. I saw this quarter zip that I loved for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah?
Loved it. It has no pockets.
Oh.
It only has one pocket on the sleeve. Up on the upper sleeve, it's got one of those zipper pockets.
You don't use that.
I just wanted a pocket. And it's a beautiful zip, but they have so much
stuff. What are you putting in your pockets while you're watching a game?
Well, no, I'd be going out. I'm usually going to wear it and I'll be out of the house, right? So I might have a car key. I might have my wallet.
Oh, you're going to a party? I thought you were watching the game at home.
No. I'd be talking about wearing this thing.
I thought you were saying this is your Super Bowl gear.
It is Super Bowl gear, but it's Philadelphia Eagles. It's got the Eagles logo on it, and it's got the Super Bowl logo on the side. It was a gorgeous piece, but no pockets.
Well, you can put the key in your pant pocket.
Yeah.
Do what I do and give it to your wife and ask her to put it in her pocketbook so it's not bulging out of your pants,
poorly designed.
Hey, check out our friends from Window Nation, too, also sponsoring our coverage, windownation.com. Jalen Hurts loves Window Nation, so do I. You'll love them, too. And Berge Chevrolet, now with two locations in Plymouth Meeting and Colmar, so make sure you're there for that. In Pat's point of view, he thinks the entire country is trying to discredit something. What is it?
This is Pat's point of view. Here's Pat.
Hey, guys.
What are they trying to discredit, Pat?
It just seems like every day there's at least two or three stories of somebody out there trying to discredit this season for the Eagles, whether it be Micah Parsons early in the season, Julian Love yesterday, Jerry Jones yesterday. Every day there's somebody out there trying to kind of just rain the parade. I love it because it just, they're so sad. They're at home mad as hell that an unlikable football team is in the championship. And we've talked about it. Like, Nick Sirianni and his staff, if we didn't have them in the city, we would hate these guys.
Oh, yes.
But they're our coaches, so we love them. And you got Julian Love coming out saying what he did. We just talked about the Jerry Jones stuff. I love the fact that we are in a position where people hate us. Like, people are actively so upset and making excuses and saying, well, if we had a starting quarterback. But Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance, Brock Purdy, Josh Johnson, Joe Montana, they weren't scoring 32 points against that defense. They just weren't. But it's like these teams that have lost and these fan bases that have lost to the Eagles are trying to convince themselves this team isn't as good as they are.
I was told possession, Pat.
Yeah, all I
that
do
if
is
they
laugh.
Had one of those other quarterbacks, the time of possession.
Totally different.
Yeah. The Eagles wouldn't have scored so many points.
Yeah, Hassan Reddick wouldn't have blown past two tight ends that were trying to block them and blow your quarterback up. I mean, come on. But I crack up because it's nice to be in this situation. Now, normally I've never been one of those guys to make excuses and discredit a team or whatnot and be one of those bitter fan bases.
You're not that guy.
I'm usually not.
Honest question here. You call up a website, I don't care what it is, and there's two stories prominent right there in front of you. One on the left, one on the right. The one on the left says Eagles have no shot at winning Super Bowl, most overrated team, blah, blah, blah. The second story says something like, historical year for Eagles should probably end in Super Bowl win. What's the one you're reading first?
I'm reading that one. I'm reading the second one.
Well, you're assuming, first of all, that I can read.
We help you with the big words around here.
Don't appreciate that. It depends on the mood I'm in. Because there are some times where I'll catch myself taking clickbait stuff and reading the negative one to get pissed off.
Yeah, because I often wonder that when we talk about oh, everybody hates us and all that, and I hear it, and I'm as interested as everybody else, but I wonder if our attention goes more towards that than the good news, and then that sways our opinion sometimes.
Correct.
You know,
yeah,
it's like
looking at
a beautiful sunrise. Or you know, something ugly, a car accident, what are you looking at first? It probably tells a lot about you, and it might say where you lean towards where your thoughts go. I'm not casting judgment at all. It's always been a wonder of mine.
Are we
more attracted to the dirty news?
Probably.
I always think it that this, I think the greatest lie ever told is nobody likes us, we don't care. This city's so thin-skinned when it gets critiqued.
And like, I'm not upset.
Everybody whines about everything that people critique.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. I'm not upset at the Julian Love. I laugh at it.
Yeah.
Because Julian Love.
We discredited it.
There was an aroma of just burnt toast. Like, there was 70,000 people at MetLife when the Eagles played the Giants up there. 70,000 people thought they were having a stroke because they all smelled burnt toast. Turned out it was just Julian Love trying to tackle Devontae Smith as he went in the end zone. Pathetic attempt. Julian Love just screams, you know, Orlando Scandrick 2.0. So I just kind of cracked up at it. But I love the fact that we're in this position. Because you know what? Crappy teams aren't in this position. Nobody's going on First Take and discrediting... Yep. The bad team, the Houston Texans. So I love where we're at.
I love it, too. Speaking of Houston, Temple takes on Houston Sunday at 6 o'clock at the Leah Kors Center.
Number one team in the nation, right?
Yeah, they're three.
Oh, what?
Yeah, they were number one.
Because we beat them 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
But that must have been at home, right?
No, it was at their place.
What?
Hey, you can bid on sports memorabilia, Temple experiences, and more during the Owl Club auction at the game. For tickets, visit owlstix.com. Andrew in Phoenixville jumps in. Andrew, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're ready to go, Andrew.
I am so ready to go as well. Hey, you were just talking about the franchises and the Cowboys. You know, I saw a graphic on an Eagles Facebook page yesterday that the offense for the Eagles, except for A.J. Brown, has been all from the draft picks of Howie Roseman. And then for the Kansas City Chiefs, most of their offense have been either trades, from other teams, maybe one or two, three or four maybe, have been draft picks. So my theory is this, is that the Cowboys aren't winning championships because they are trading for other players. They're not building their team from the draft. They're not building a big foundation from the draft like the Eagles are, and that's why they're not winning championships.
And you better, and Andrew, good point, because you better have that foundation laid because Jalen Hurts is about to get paid. Not trying to be Stephen A. and rhyming.
I don't know.
You know, it's good.
Much worse.
So there it is. So we got a lot coming your way, including a hypothetical that I throw to the entire gang to see if they could have one supplemental player next Sunday. Who would it be? John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. With the big game here and a big year for the Birds, it's time to get in on the biggest, best sportsbook out there, the Bet Park Sportsbook and Casino app. It's always got you covered, and right now is the perfect time for you to get in because if you're a new user, you can get up to $750 in sportsbook bonus back if your first bet doesn't come up a winner. Now, in the interim, while you're planning out all your big wagers for the big game, individual player performances are always awesome. There's live in-game wagering, too, that makes you feel like you're almost a part of the game. You can do all those things. You don't have to just bet on a point spread or whatever it is. You can also be betting on the local hoops teams, whether it's pro or college. So many fantastic ways to get involved. It's a sleek, easy-to-use app, and I got to get all my wagers in before heading out to Arizona for the next few days, too, coming up next week. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. See betparks.com for full terms and conditions. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Got a special announcement coming up at 8 o'clock today. And we have a special guest that will stop on by, Jamie Lynch. Joining us for a couple hours, Jamie's Daily Odds podcast. It's already posted. A 20-minute daily podcast. Jamie examines the lines of upcoming games, player props, futures, ups and downs of gambling. You know Jamie. It's light, it's quick, it's funny.
Presented by
presented by the Bet Park Sportsbook app. All available for you. Jamie will join us at 8.
I'm a bit of a foodie douche.
Yes, you are. Most certainly you are. Yes, he is.
Jamie's pretty. Yeah, he's pretty good. I wouldn't put. She's a foodie connoisseur. I don't know if I'd put douche on it.
He's a little uppity with this stuff.
Huh?
When you have servants and stuff like that, you know, waiting on you, manservants.
Yeah, I guess maybe.
You know, it's a little tough. It's a very difficult thing. William's on a cell. William, what's on you? What's getting your goat this morning, buddy?
I was listening to you guys talk earlier. Y'all were like questioning if Philly actually is not liked. And I believe it's true. It's like they give us our respect when they have no choice. Like Hassan Reddick should have been a first team all pro. They say he's nice, but give him second team all pro. Even outside of the Eagles, just look at the Sixers. Leading scorer in the league, plays for Philly. Of course, he comes off the bench, right?
Yeah, for the All-Star game, yeah.
The lead league in assists. I don't know if he actually qualifies, but the other guys I've seen, they miss games too. Drew Holiday averaged 17 points.
Yeah, Drew Holiday bit is it's
that
absolutely
was ridiculous. You're exactly
me.
Right, William.
It's
Drew Holiday over Harden is laughable. Also, I've used that word a lot today. Laughable.
How about DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah,
are you freaking kidding me? Like it's stupid.
Yeah,
are you trying to give a lifetime achievement award to DeRozan?
If I ever have a vote on an All Star game or anything like that, one of the first things I look at is team success.
That matters.
To me, it does. Yeah, and
what's
and
DeRozan? They're like what? Eight games under 500 or something?
Yeah, I
not good.
Yeah, the Holiday thing I didn't understand even a little bit. If great teams are getting rewarded for their greatness, well, the Sixers are right in the mix of that.
Hey, Football Fridays are on the Fanatic, and they're presented by Pump Man Philly. If you need a water pump expert for your facility, check out the Pump Man. 24/7 emergency repair, pump replacement. Count on Pump Man Philly. Guys to know to fix your flow. So I have a hypothetical for you. And if you want to chime in on this, you can at 610-632-0975. You get to have an Eagle legend join the team from the prime of their career for this Super Bowl. But the only rule is that whoever you add, you have to remove the best player at that position from the current roster.
Sure.
I tried to do this yesterday. One of my buddies brought this up to me, and I will credit him. It's harder than you think to make the choice. Because you think about, well, if you go for a pass rusher, well, then you're moving Hassan Reddick out. You're going for a corner.
I didn't think this was difficult.
Well, okay, I can't wait to hear your answer, because I'm hoping it's the same one I have.
Okay.
You can go.
Dawkins.
See, it's not mine. That wasn't my answer.
Well, you're wrong.
Go on. Explain yourself.
Dawkins, I like C.J. Gardner-Johnson a lot. And we talked about Marcus Epps being really, really good this year. No one really expected it. But neither of those guys can hold a candle to Brian Dawkins. So I love this exercise because you're right. Taking out, you know, the
biggest
best player
ball,
at
the
that
biggest
position.
Ball hawk in the NFC.
Oh, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Yeah, it wasn't like Brian Dawkins couldn't pick a ball off.
Yeah.
I mean, he set a tone out there. I'd give me Brian Dawkins any day of the week over these two guys. Yeah, I don't think it's close.
Is that your choice too?
You could have Troy Polamalu back there or Ed Reed, and you would have an argument to put Brian Dawkins to replace them. So absolutely Brian Dawkins.
So you absolutely should.
I'm backing Pat's choice.
No, I mean, it's
absolutely
fun.
Absolutely,
but you only get to do one.
I know.
So is that the number one choice you'd make? It wouldn't be for me.
I don't think they need... Reggie White is the name that pops in your head, right? Maybe the greatest Eagle, one of the greatest Eagles of all time. But they don't really need more pass rushing there.
And you'd lose Hassan Reddick.
Well, or you could lose Brandon Graham.
You can't. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Why can't you?
Well, I think you'd be losing more Hassan. Your best player, you lose.
Oh, I thought you were going position-wise.
No, you lose your best player.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so they saw a pass rusher, you're losing your best pass rusher.
Yeah, so... I might go Westbrook over Sanders.
That's my answer.
I was thinking about that one.
That's my answer.
And that's a close second to for me.
I can only imagine the Swiss Army knife that Brian Westbrook would be with these coaches, this offensive line, these wide receivers. Brian Westbrook would cause people to just... There'd be coaches that just don't even want to show up. Yeah. I think Westbrook's the one.
And with this athletic offensive line, the way you could run screen passes, different things that way, watching Westbrook do a wheel route against different teams. Yeah, how much Jalen Hurts would love to have somebody like that. But the scheming of this offense doesn't really pertain to them throwing much to the backs.
Is it because they don't have a Westbrook?
Well, I mean, few teams have a Westbrook, but Gainwell was supposed to be a guy that could come out of the backfield and catch the ball.
Gainwell's done a nice job, but they don't throw it much.
No, they don't. They don't focus on that.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. The last time you had a back that really was effective was probably catching the ball. Darren Sproles, they did a good job of putting him in there and running wheel routes and stuff like that, and he made some things happen. This team, it looks to be that when they do throw to the backs, it's the check down. It's not the main part of the play. Think of Gainwell's catches. A lot of them are just, okay, over the middle, catch and sit down.
It's the third option.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know why they haven't done it more, but we can't argue with this offense when your numbers are what they are.
Would you consider Trotter?
Trotter over T.J. Edwards.
I would absolutely consider that.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Because that was like...
That might be,
for me, it was Dawkins number one, and then number two was B. West, but two... Like, that was 2A and 2B was Trotter.
Pat, I think Trotter makes more impact than trading out Dawkins for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Trotter for T.J. Edwards...
I don't know.
...makes a bigger impact to me.
I don't know. I'll argue against it.
No, I think you can make...
Who's the best coverage back that they've had, linebacker that the Eagles have had over the years? That might be a guy I would lean towards because of the offense they're going up against in Kansas City. Trotter's great against the run. He's great. He's physical, all of that. Does that bode well against a Kansas City Chiefs offense that you're going to see on Super Bowl Sunday?
It's a good point. Let's not forget who set the tone against Algie Crumpler, a tight end.
That was fantastic.
The NFC Championship game.
That's
that was
right.
Dawkins. So
yes,
I would love
it was.
To see Travis Kelce come over the middle and get just
Dawkins.
Thumped.
Dawkins, I'll be honest, was my first thought. I had to change it up since you said it, but he was my first thought.
I enjoyed bringing that up to Algie, like, every time I saw him.
I mean, I feel bad for
the
guy.
And the fact that he didn't pummel me.
Well, the fact that he held on to the ball is impressive.
It was
incredible. It was.
That was an incredible.
I thought it was impressive also how Dawkins got right up.
Yes.
Because it was the kind of hit where you think both guys are going to, like, take a step back, maybe, you know, lose their breath for a second. Dawkins, no, not at all. Crumpler took the full force of it.
Let's see what Bob and Cherry Hill has to say. Bob, good morning. You're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
hey,
Bobby.
Bob. Hey, I was actually thinking, now hear me out, I was actually thinking Terrell Owens over A.J. Brown, and my reasoning is that A.J. Brown, he's been great this year. He's been terrific, but there are just certain times where I feel like he can, if the defense does a good job, he can get locked up. There are certain times where his production goes down or he could disappear, whereas like I feel like T.O., he's a top five receiver all the time.
T.O. never disappeared.
Yes, and he's just an unstoppable beast. So, again, A.J. Brown is great, but I just wonder where... Like, we saw what T.O. did in the Super Bowl, and that was on one
day. Yeah,
on a broken leg.
Yes, and I could just imagine what he would do to that Kansas City defense, that Kansas City secondary, fully healthy and in his prime. I think it would be insane.
Damn, that's a really
I would
good
love
point.
That. That's a great one, too.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? That feels almost like, look, you're not even sniffing this Sunday. It's upcoming Sunday a week from now without... A.J. Brown.
No.
But A.J. Brown in the playoffs, it's been nothing.
I think he's fine. I really think this pass game has kind of just...
He's got 50 yards in two games on seven receptions.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Are you worried about it going into this game?
Yeah, because I'm wondering if he's hurt.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, it might be a combination of things. It might be a combination of him being hurt and Jalen Hurts still dealing with something from his shoulder. But they also haven't needed it. They haven't needed to... I mean, they've jumped out to huge leads where it's like, let's just run.
Yeah, that's my bigger thing. And why I have this feeling is because we went into that San Francisco game, many wondering about the health of A.J. Brown. They threw him the ball in the first play of the game. And he got a little pushing match before the game with Guy Ward. They threw him on a slant first play of the game, got it. There was a third down, key third down, third and eight. Threw it to him over the middle. Ball was 2 inches off the ground. He goes down, scoops it, picks up, makes a great catch. I think he's fine. I just think, like Pat said, I think it's more of a they went to the running game more than needing to rely on big pass plays.
Our friend John Maley from Arizona says replace Seth Joyner with Kaiser White.
Kaiser White's not their best linebacker.
Yeah, it has to be your best.
Yeah, so you're talking about like your best position. Sure. I mean, you know,
there's something with AJ though that just gives me a little pause. Is that like the 32 yards at Arizona, the 7 yards in the Monday Night Football loss to the Commanders, the 22 yards against the Giants, the 28 yards against San Francisco. T.O., the biggest stages, T.O. showed up.
Yeah,
he showed up.
The guy still had over 1,200 receiving, close to 1,300 receiving yards.
But the last two games are the biggest games, and
yeah,
you expect
throw
the biggest stars.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you, by the way, John. Like, there is
a concern.
There is a part of me that is concerned because I thought that he was injured in the Giants game.
Yes.
So I think he might be dealing with something. He has beaten his defender back to back weeks, and Jalen has overthrown him, which leads me to be concerned about maybe there's something to deal with that Jalen's dealing with.
Yeah.
But overall, in the back of my mind, they go, okay, but they haven't needed that.
If Hurts gets a little air under that ball, then we're talking about A.J. Brown having over 100 yards receiving the other day.
Yeah, it would have been.
You know, so okay. He beat the guy horribly.
And there are times where, I guess there is. You can do that with drops with wide receivers, too, which is, and he was pretty shorehanded this year.
Oh, God, AJ. Yeah.
He did a good job. Yeah. Devontae Smith, though, to me just seems like he's been a little more, is it targeted? And I don't even know that it's targeted. I mean, I can't even tell you the number of targets. It just seems, the perception to me is that Devontae, and maybe it's the attention that the opposition is paying to A.J. Brown. Maybe that's part of it. Devontae Smith is benefiting. He's only got 8 receptions. In those games. So that whole part of it, and that one wasn't a catch, but we don't care about that because Kyle Shanahan didn't challenge it.
Yeah, no, he went up and got that pretty well. I give him an A for effort anyway. I would have given him the catch if I was the referee. I don't care that ball hit the ground. Hey. It doesn't matter.
In real time, it looked like a catch.
It did. Hey, free battery testing, free battery charging, replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. In Cooney's Corner, the greatness of this guy is on center stage.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, so when we do talk Andy Reid, and we talk about the greatness coaching that he had here, you can't deny it. Yes, he didn't win the big one. Yeah, there are people, detractors out there that didn't like him, whatever. He was a great coach. He is a great coach. A great, great coach. Do you go into this game, though, knowing all of the faults that he has for a game, which stuck out to many people in this city more than the greatness of him? The time management, the questionable play calling. I saw it last week where they were running a hook and lateral in first quarter of the game where you're risking fumbles, throwing shuffle passes still in the middle of a crowded line. All of those things. Do you find comfort in going against Andy Reid in this Super Bowl as an Eagles fan more than you're scared of Andy Reid as a head coach?
I know that I would say that watching Nick Sirianni's first 2 years, I feel he runs a game better than Andy. Like what we experienced here with Andy, time management and everything. But Andy Reid's unpredictability and Andy Reid's willing to do odd stuff at odd times does concern me a bit.
Okay, Pat, I'll let you go, and then I'll add to that. Are you more concerned about Reid being a head coach of the other team? Or because you've seen the faults through the years many, many times, do you have an ease about you going against him?
The faults stick out for me, so I feel a little bit better. And that might be naivete on my part because he is one of the best to ever do it. But what sticks out is the fact that he couldn't win the big game. And while I'm thrilled that he finally got his Super Bowl, there's something to be said that he has won Super Bowl. So I'm not overly concerned. I feel a little bit better about the situation.
And John, the thing that you brought up is why I feel good about. You talked about his trickery and the different things that he does and all. A lot of the times, it could lead, or because of his trickery and all, it could lead more to them turning the ball over. You know, with his trickery, with his throwing the ball in the middle of a crowded line on a shuffle play. To call a hook and lateral, which was just crazy to me, in the first quarter the other day where the lateral was about 10 yards that they tried to do. I don't know if you saw the play. You might have been going right back home, but I don't know. I have a quiet confidence, and that's how
you think,
I'll put it.
They're going to get too cute.
I think he has a tendency to maybe look to get too cute at times.
We all
know
that.
And I think this Eagles defense is good enough to take advantage of that.
Yeah. We definitely have said that over the years.
Yeah, and clock management, yeah, that's a real thing. It's still a real thing with him. By the way, getting back to the targets, Devontae Smith targeted 136 times. A.J. Brown, 145.
What about the playoffs?
That's incredible.
I don't have it
broken down individually.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering with the playoffs, too.
I have the list.
I think if I remember, Devontae's gotten 13 targets in the playoffs. I think he's gotten 13.
Devontae Smith had 3 targets last game to A.J. Brown's 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a special announcement coming up at 8 o'clock, something that we're going to want you to be part of, and you're invited. Okay? You have to just find out what it's going to be. We'll tell you coming up after the top of the hour. Plus, Jamie's going to be in with us. Pat, you said earlier in the show today something we wanted to get to about patience, that fans need to know something about patience.
Yeah, are we finally going to be patient as a fan base?
About what?
Because when Doug Peterson got hired, all I heard was the fact that nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted Doug Peterson. There was one team that interviewed him. Why are we hiring this guy? He sounds like an idiot. And then they won the Super Bowl. And I heard the same thing about Charlie Manuel. Jim Leland. Guy can't do the double switch. Sounds like a country bumpkin. And then he won a World Series. And then Nick Sirianni comes to town. And it's the worst first introductory press conference in the world. But it was also similar of like, no one wanted him. Are we finally learning as a fan base, maybe we should kind of be patient with things and let things ruminate and figure out if these guys can actually coach? Because arguably the most popular hire in Jeffrey Lurie's tenure was Chip Kelly, because he was the most known commodity. Epic disaster. The fact that this fan base, for the most part, did not learn from the sins of 5 years earlier with Doug Peterson, it's proving that like sometimes you just need to wait, and you can't judge a book by its cover. And an introductory press conference, or even a first season. And by the way, and this isn't just Nick Sirianni. This is Jalen Hurts. Like, I'm putting my hand up on this one. I wasn't willing to let Jalen Hurts wait and develop. I thought the guy sucked, and I need to be better as a fan. So I'm wondering if you guys think that there is any chance that Philadelphia will learn from this, because sadly, I don't think so.
I don't think any fan base ever learns. I mean, I don't think that any fan base ever truly is going to be patient. There's one thing. If you tell me about the Eagles being patient, it's one of the reasons why we did the little exercise after Nick Sirianni's press conference, and I brought all the quotes from Andy Reid's first one, because that's what got me to say, okay, it was a terrible press conference. And you can say it was a horrendous press conference, but we had to look at it and go, well, Andy had a really, really bad first press conference too, and was looked upon as like a buffoon. And it worked out. But I don't think any fan base ever learns patience, because everybody has an opinion when they see something. And Pat, if you said to the Sixers or the Flyers, I wouldn't give them the same patience. I gave the Flyers patience with Tortorella because I said he's an excellent hire, and you finally got somebody in there that is a professional that's an excellent hire. But I don't think I'd give the Sixers patience.
Patience?
I have no patience if they don't make, like, if the Sixers don't make the third round.
But I think we jump to conclusions way too fast as fans, and we've been proven wrong quite a bit of times, like where it's led to a championship, but we think we know better.
That's a fair point.
Nick Sirianni comes in and can't get through a press conference, and he's scorched.
I beg for patience an awful lot. I've told you guys I like stability. I would like to let things play out a little bit more, and that breeds patience. But I totally understand that fan is short for fanatic. And you're not going to get patience with someone who's a fanatic. You're just not. Think about that. You're not. You want instant gratification as a fan. You want it often. And that's what a fan is. That's the definition.
Hey, Jim in Westchester joins us on the Fanatic. Jim, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good to have you in the show.
Hey, yeah. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, man.
Driving with my daughter into Amanda into school, trying to fire her up for the game. She's not very happy, but I make her listen.
We appreciate it. Hey, Amanda, just do your schoolwork. We love you. Thank you for letting Dad listen.
There you go. Thanks. Hey, just a simple comment on the coaching story you guys are talking about. Like, what's better? You know, who better coach or what's the better situation to have someone with all the experience? I positive side to me is that you've got a lot more tape to watch on Andy over years and years, and maybe you figure out, you know, we already know some of his tendencies. Maybe there's only so many places he can go and things he can do, but Sirianni doesn't have so much tape maybe to go by. So that's the positive side.
I like that. A lot more. I like that. And I do think Andy Reid, though, Jim, is one of those guys that he's going to do what he does and you try to stop me. I don't think Andy Reid is one of those chess match coaches that literally thinks for hours, what are they expecting? Well, we're going to do different. Yeah. I think Andy's the guy that says, I'm going to do what I want to do, and you try to stop me.
With some wrinkles.
Right, with a wrinkle.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, here's my six plays. As long as execute, we're going to beat you. There is some of that. Look, he's going to throw the ball to he's going to target Travis Kelce probably 12 to 14 times.
Or it's malpractice if he doesn't.
We all know it. He knows it, whatever. So it's going to be a stop me type of thing. Go ahead. You stop Patrick Mahomes from throwing the ball to Travis Kelce. But there's going to be wrinkles also. Oh, yeah, by the way, we gave Travis Kelce a little shuffle pass here. Or we had a wide receiver throw to Travis Kelce on this play. He's going to throw his wrinkles in there because he loves to do it, and he's been successful at it.
And you know if it's first and goal or third, if it's second and goal from the two. You know, one of those shovel passes is not.
Yeah, you're going to be looking out for it. Yeah.
It's the way he handles it.
And that kid Pacheco, he runs hard.
He never stops.
He runs hard inside, especially inside the red zone. So he's got to be contained also.
We got a special announcement coming up about something that will hopefully you'll join us for. Jamie Lynch joins us, and we're halfway home on this Friday edition of the week before the week. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. Valentine's Day's here, coming up on February the 14th. You've got around 11 days now to be ready for it. So you get on it today. Steven Singer was in a studio with us the other day. He brought his brand new 24-carat gold-dipped rose for 2023, the periwinkle color. It's violet. It's blue. It's a long-stem, gorgeous rose. You will absolutely love it. But if you order it today, you get the fast and free shipping, and it'll be there in time for Valentine's Day. That's part of the deal here. We're all going to be distracted up until Valentine's Day. Because the Super Bowl's on the 12th. So what you need to do is prepare yourself now. Do your shopping online. They've got beautiful necklaces, diamond earrings, and more. But the new rose color always sells out fast. And his beautiful gold-dipped roses start at just $59. So don't wait a minute longer. Fast and free shipping in time for Valentine's Day. It's my friend Steven Singer. 24-carat gold roses for your real love. That's IHateStevenSinger.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Where we're thrilled on this Friday morning that Jamie Lynch joins us. You can check out Jamie's podcast, The Daily Odds Pod. Quick daily podcast. Pat listens to it walking the dog. I listen to it when I'm just out walking.
Yeah, you know, I stopped listening to it, though.
Why'd you stop listening to it?
He doesn't know football.
Well, we already knew that about Jamie.
No, I texted him yesterday.
Parks didn't know it, but Jamie.
I was unaware of something.
He was completely unaware, and I was listening. I was enjoying it. I texted him about something in the show, and then he proved that he didn't know football, so I said, Jamie, I'm out.
So you're done?
Yeah, I'm done.
What did you not know about football, Jamie Lynch?
I did not know that Nick Sirianni was fired by Andy Reid in 2014.
Yes. See, well, that's incredible stuff. Then you should... Park should immediately pull the plug.
I know. Out. I can't believe they still like
me. Unbelievable.
But yes, thank you to Bet Parks for making this happen. Yeah, I was unaware of that storyline, and you know what a fascinating storyline to add into an already fascinating Super Bowl.
10 years ago,
by the way, because I read it when initially I think with the first Chiefs Eagles matchup, Sirianni versus Andy Reid, and that's the first time I heard the story, and the way it's worded is. You know, oh, he got fired. And it's true, don't get me wrong, but what happened was Andy Reid came in and he inherited Nick Sirianni.
and he wanted his own staff, so he let him go. But apparently he was very complimentary of Nick Sirianni, saying, hey, I'm not overly familiar with you, but I've heard really good things. But
Get the hell out.
I just want to bring my own people.
Yeah.
So kick rock.
I got a guy. Yeah, I got a guy. I hate when that happens.
As someone who can hold a grudge against Bobby Clark from 1988, I hope Nick Sirianni sharpens the knife.
It didn't seem like Nick Sirianni was holding a grudge.
He's not going to let it be known.
Seemed like he was all right.
Not going to let it be known.
You think he's Arya Stark behind the scenes?
Uh-huh, yes.
And Andy Reid's on his hit list?
I absolutely do.
I hope so. That'd be cool.
I hope so, too. Thanks to Bet Parks for having Jamie with us. We have a big announcement, though, that we want to share with you. The week of February the 20th, the John Kincaid Show is having Open House Week, which means we are going to be doing live shows in our new performance studio each and every day where listeners can come up, be in the studio audience, take part, grab breakfast. We'll have special guests joining us all week long during the show for meet and greets with the listeners and giveaways. But space each day is absolutely limited. You've got to go to 975thefanatic.com now and click on the open house link to reserve the spot for you and a guest. So you come up, you watch the show, you take part in, we'll have special guests that are going to be joining us throughout the week. We've got breakfast being served for you. It'll be fun.
It's going to be awesome.
That's going to be a great week.
Yeah. Food, special guests. You can come in and hang out. I love it.
Live audience.
Yes.
I can come in and heckle.
Enjoy.
Yes, you're going to be
a special guest, maybe. No, maybe I just come in and heckle.
Well, you're going to be there Friday, definitely, now. Thanks to Bet Parks, if they don't dump you because of the stupid oversight on your part.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
I don't know how I missed that one, but I guess it was kind of buried and irrelevant at the time, and then you just...
You've been a pretty good run, though. I would say as far as your football observations on betting, despite what Pat says...
Yeah.
You've done pretty well.
Yeah, I've been doing all right.
You made people some money.
Yeah,
you're on
been
a
doing
heater.
Pretty well, yeah.
Well, I know about that.
Super Bowl MVP is always one of my favorite bets to make. Ever since I nailed Von Miller at like plus 1,700 a couple years ago, I've been on this high in a little bit.
Okay.
It's become one of my favorite bets to make.
So are you saying, without giving away Daily Odds Pod information?
I have a long shot guy.
You got a guy?
Yeah, I have Kenny Gainwell in the back of my mind.
I said
because the odds are going to be great.
I said to Bob yesterday, the Gainwell thing fascinates me.
Yeah.
Because of we were talking about Corey Clement.
Yeah, he's on that kind of heater.
And he's on that roll.
Yeah.
And he could, and honestly, if it ends up, you know, he could have won MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean,
Corey
was just on another planet that day.
So
he was spectacular.
I think the Eagles are expected to score some points. Okay,
he's going to need two touchdowns to get it done.
Right, so that's why I'm thinking defense, because you also expect Kansas City to score points. If you do something against the best offense in the league, I think that might propel you quicker. It's funny that you brought this up, because I was thinking of it too. If I'm going to go with an MVP long shot, I'm going to go Eagles side of the ball, maybe like I'm not going to say Epps, but maybe like a C.J. Gardner-Johnson or something. A
buddy of mine yesterday was watching all of the interceptions that were thrown by Patrick Mahomes this year.
Oh, he takes some risks now.
And he said he's going to put 50 down on Darius Slay for MVP and 50 on C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Okay. Yeah, I might dabble a little bit with Reddick as well. He looks like he's a man absolutely possessed
now. That sounds good, right?
So
if he causes a turnover
and gets two sacks, like he's got a shot.
He was my like long shot choice.
Obviously Jalen Hurts is probably going to get it if the Eagles win.
If they win.
But we're talking long shots, so these are fun bets to make.
And you could put five down.
Yeah.
Ten down, whatever
great
you want to do and be able to do that. We look forward to you joining us, though, during live week, our open house week. We hope you will go now to 975thefanatic.com, click on the open house link. You and a guest can come and watch. You'll be eligible to come to one show that week, because obviously we want to be able to get a lot of people in that can come. Our performance studio is beautiful. We're going to have a great time, and we hope that you will definitely be clicking on that to join us the week of February the 20th. Now, I look at this before we go, because one of the things I do before the Super Bowl, and I'll do it this weekend, I do all my research for show topics and stuff like that so I can get it off the plate, because we'll have a lot of guests. We'll have a lot of stuff going on in when we get to Arizona. That sort of takes over the show. So I try to get stuff done earlier. I look at it yesterday. The Eagles have the better offensive line. The Eagles have the better defensive line. The Eagles have a far superior defense as a whole. The Eagles run the ball better. So I just be, when I start to handicap this Super Bowl, are we overthinking it? I mean, I know Patrick Mahomes is a game changer, but the Eagles are better at almost every stinking thing than the Chiefs are.
The Eagles are winning this game. I feel, you know, pretty supremely confident about it because
I like hearing that.
I'm out. Because
what more do we need to say?
I like hearing that.
I mean,
well, Pat says he doesn't know football.
Yeah.
So this is good.
This offensive line is out of this world good right now. They're just better on both lines. And if you're better at both lines, it comes down to the other quarterback has to be spectacular.
He could be.
And he has the potential to be. And that's why it's kind of, you know, a 1.5 point line, very evenly kind of matched.
I can't believe that.
But they only have the edge at tight end, quarterback, maybe defensive tackle if you were going individual. But you take the Eagles' defensive line over them, and if you dominate both lines, Patrick Mahomes is human. Tampa Bay showed you that 2 years ago, and all they had to do was get in his pocket all day.
Yeah.
Well, they also shut down that run game.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have a chance to get the run game going because the offensive line was just getting swallowed up.
And you can't shut down the Eagles' run game.
No, and it's another, I don't want to say fault of Andy Reid's, but it's something to look for. He doesn't love to stick with the running game either. So it's not that, you know, you have to shut down their running game. You can't allow, as I said earlier, you don't want to, like, those dicing plays of big runs but by Pacheco. But at the same time, Andy Reid's not going to stick to a run game. So it's going to be, you know, you're going to pin your ears back. And this Eagles D-line eats. So I agree with you, John and Jamie. I don't see how they lose this game.
I'm just looking at it and I just think, are we overthinking it? Because I don't understand.
Wait, us overthinking it? No.
I think it's also to the odds makers. So I challenge my friends at Bet Parks.
I challenge everybody. It was two days ago. Now it's down to one and a half.
I do not understand the line.
Here's the thing.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
I think that we do overthink it. I think the odds makers overthink it because the odds makers are used to having 17 games, whatever it is, 16 games to work with. They have one. They have one game to focus on for 2 weeks, just like us.
Okay.
And it's not as simple as, okay, I think they're win and you move on because this is our job. That's their job. So we spend 4 hours dissecting this game. They spend all day dissecting lines, injury reports, weather, you name it. So, yeah, they're absolutely overthinking it. We're overthinking it.
Here's the only thing, though, Pat, is that I'm never one to overthink anything. So I don't take
that
your,
is not true. You're a liar.
I do not.
Sir, you're a liar.
I do. I mean, because I'm looking at it yesterday, and I'm just trying to get all the stuff together we'll be talking about next week and everything, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, it's the Eagles have, if you did the old Philadelphia Inquirer Sunday morning.
I still do that in my head all the time.
The check marks.
Yeah.
I used to run for the Sunday Inquirer after church.
Mm-hmm.
Grab it and see who gets all the check marks. Where are all the advantages?
The Eagles get the majority of the
check mark. Patrick Mahomes gets the check mark. Travis Kelce gets the check mark.
And Dallas Goedert isn't that far behind. You know what I mean? Like, Travis Kelce's probably going to be the greatest tight end of all time.
Wow.
I think he's better than Gronk. I'm not trying to discredit Travis Kelce at all. But,
oh, not at all.
But when you look at tight ends in the league, Dallas Goedert's probably top five. So he's not that far off. So it's an advantage, but it's not like distinct an advantage.
I think it's Travis Kelce. And then I think everybody falls off a cliff, and then you get to the number two.
Yeah, I mean, he's ridiculous.
So I think too far off.
I'll tell you what, if Dallas Goedert was targeted 14 times a game, I'm pretty confident he's going to get you 8 or 9 and 100 or close to that. Look, that's the only target that Patrick Mahomes trusts and really has right now.
He's a touchdown machine.
A touchdown machine. He gets targeted all the time. He's open all the time. He knows how to sit down in zones. He can beat people one-on-one if they try to cover him. He's really good at that. The Eagles don't need to target Dallas Goedert 14 times a game. They have other weapons that they can go to more often. So I'm not comparing saying that they're close, but I have as much confidence in Dallas Goedert as any other tight end in the league not named Travis Kelce.
Yeah, that's my only point. Is it's an advantage for the Chiefs, okay. No doubt. But Dallas Goddard is pretty damn good himself.
Yeah.
But he's not trailing Jerry Rice in all-time playoff touchdowns. I think with two, he can eclipse them or something.
It's amazing.
Jason and Travis were talking about it on the podcast the other day. And they're both cool as hell. Like Travis,
yeah, they are.
Travis is like, yeah, you know what? I'll take the team win over the individual awards. I don't care at all. They're such likable guys. It's really making this game pretty cool.
Hey, there's a brand new wing in town at your local PJ's, Jamie. Did you know it? It's called the Chili Cumin Wing.
Ooh.
The cumin, do you use that?
I mess with it all.
Well, PJ's doesn't mess around with anything. They just create great wings. PJ'sPub.com for full details. 5 chili cumin wings for just $5 during PJ's happy hour. That sounds like a great, great one.
That does sound good.
Sixers Spurs tonight, 8 o'clock on the Fanatic, so you can take care of that. What do you think of James Harden not being an all-star?
I don't know. The all-star thing is, I mean, the fact that Joel Embiid's not even starting in the game kind of tells you. Ja Morant and Joel Embiid, two of the best stars the league has to offer, aren't starting. Yeah. Like, you kind of lose credibility to me. And look, it's the all-star game. It's supposed to be fun, but it's just like, whatever.
Pat said earlier he likes the fact that you're going to have James Harden have a week off.
Yeah, that's
now
that's
he's
cool.
Going to be in Las Vegas. I would guarantee you see him in Las Vegas
or Houston. Yeah, he goes back home where he lives a lot.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all either. I remember covering All Star games and Embiid was going through his injuries and stuff like that, and then playing in the competing in, and I was kind of like, yeah, if I were the Sixers, I think I'd rather him be home. Brett Brown was very big on guys walking into a locker room and seeing LeBron James uniform pinned up there and running into Kobe Bryant and all that stuff. I don't know. I was all more for now. Let the guy rest. I think that's more important.
Hey, at Jefferson Health, there are more than 12,000 caregivers that push beyond what's possible. It's healthcare that's rooted in the word care. Jefferson Health is uncompromising care. All right, Bobby, in Cooney's Corner, he has a question for all of us, and it surrounds the big game.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
That's right, I do, Jamie, so you better be ready for this. All right?
Jamie, pay attention.
All right. The Super Bowl. Jamie, you've been to a few.
I've worked 3 of them.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a few, right?
Yeah, that's a few.
How about that?
I think that works as a few.
We all know what it's about. We're in the midst of one now with the week buildup before they even get there. Then the teams go out there. Then they have their media obligations, and they get there, all the things that go on there. Do you guys ever get the feeling that we don't get the good game that we should because of all the surrounding stuff that goes on with the Super Bowl?
I never thought about that.
I often do, and every game that it starts out, I'll feel like, this just doesn't feel like a normal game between the Colts and the Patriots.
Well, nerves have to be outrageous.
The nerves are outrageous. The timing, it's supposed to start at 6:30, but then you get all the pageantry and
the
it
long
might start
half-time.
Late. The long, long halftime.
At By the way, Rihanna, what up? Can't wait to
Rihanna.
Watch
Rihanna.
Whatever.
You have to say it the way she wants it said.
Rihanna.
You show disrespect.
You're never going to have a shot unless you say her name right, Jane.
I never had a shot to begin with.
Well, you got to start at the beginning. But yeah, I often feel that way. That's why I say I like games to be played on a clean track.
Right.
I don't love home field advantage because it's 20 degrees. Nah, I'm pretty sure Jalen Hurts doesn't like playing in the cold either. All of those things. But at times I do. I watch these Super Bowls and I think, man, these teams aren't performing the way they can perform because they've had 2 weeks off, all the pageantry. Has practice really been what it should be about? You never get those feelings?
I have something that plays to that, and I said to you, no, I really never thought about that, but I always bet the first quarter under every Super Bowl. And by the way, it is the prop bet that hits over and over and over again.
Huh.
This year, I am not betting it.
Is it what, 10.5?
I think it'll be 10.5. I'm betting the over in the first quarter this time around.
Yeah, I mean, if there's going to be nerves to be had, it's going to be in the green and white. I mean, you know, Kansas City's used to this stage. They've been there. They've done that. They've won it. They've lost it. They have all the advantages that can be had when it comes to playing in this game. I just wonder at times because I think the most entertaining Super Bowl we ever had was the Eagles beating the Patriots, and it has nothing to do with the hometown team winning. I just thought that was a really fun and entertaining game. But I do think that the pageantry of it all sometimes just takes away from the true football aspect of it.
I mean, the fact that the coaches say every single year, it's just like an evergreen statement by every coach. Well, we just got to block out the distractions. We got to block out the I think it has to have an effect on a good majority of the guys.
I remember talking to years ago, we had the Jeremiah Trotter show. And there was a little bit of downtime, and somehow the Super Bowl came up, and he said, we had to get ready to deal with the long halftime show.
What did they do different? Do you remember?
Like, I don't think they were ready for it necessarily. I think that was, like, his point was they weren't prepared to get out of the rhythm. You spend all season and the playoffs with the same amount of time for a pregame or a halftime show.
Right.
Like, halftime. And now you got to deal with, I think double the time or whatever it was. They weren't ready for it. And they kind of were just twiddling their thumbs a little bit. It's a tiny wrinkle, but it's just, it goes to the pageantry of it all, of making this whole thing out to be more than just a football game. It's an event.
It is going to be.
I mean, what's the numbers worldwide? It's like 128 million or something.
Can you imagine that many people watching you? Did you see the weekend? Last weekend for the NFC and AFC title games.
Yeah, I saw it was
they did pretty well.
Yeah, they did.
58 million for Chiefs Bengals.
And the Eagles' average viewership, I believe, was 51 million.
Jeez,
it's incredible.
That's wild. That is wild.
It's just look the NFL just
they're a machine.
It just dominates it.
Yeah,
and my wife asked me why.
Why does the NFL dominate?
Because it's just I think it, the
like
fact-
why is it? She's like, why would. Like every game of the, how about this? Every game of the NBA finals from last year, 6 games, add all their national TV ratings up. Everybody that watched for 6 nights didn't watch, not as many people watched the Eagles play the 49ers.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Scarcity.
That's bizarre.
Why. I mean, the NFL, it's an event. Whether you're tailgating, you're doing something out of your norm. It's something to look forward to. That once a week aspect, not to mention the game's just great. And you see new, fascinating stuff all the time. But it's that it's an event. It owns a day of the week.
Really, I completely get it. Yeah, it's scarcity.
Yeah, but the thing is,
it's once a week. I mean,
it's not overly time committal if you don't want it to be.
Is that a word?
Sure.
Committal?
Yeah. It is now.
It is now.
Put it in the Jamie Dictionary.
The
fact that there's only one game a week, it makes every game so much more important. Theoretically, you could skip a playoff game in hockey, baseball, basketball, and you're not going to get the whole story of the series.
That's not bad.
You can't do that with football. I mean, it's just that one game, that is it, any given Sunday.
But why is it so much bigger now than it was 20 years ago?
TVs are pretty awesome. The production's
pretty
awesome.
Yeah, but TV has gone down. Every other sport's gone down in TV.
NFL.
Baseball, NBA, NHL have all gone down.
NFL's incredible at marketing.
And NFL's gone through
the roof. It's a great product to watch on TV. I mean, it really is. Like, some of the replays you saw last week, deciding the AFC.
It's unbelievable.
It's like, even now in the downtime, you're, like, debating, like, you know, plays, and you're going on Twitter. Is that a foul? Is it not? Like, it's just... It's all encompassing.
And Jamie's right. The time consuming thing is real because we're all busy. We all have families. We have lives. But you can put 3 hours, 3.5 hours aside a week. A lot of people aren't willing to put 3.5 hours a day.
Yeah,
that's gotcha. Baseball.
Three times a day.
And it falls primarily on a day that everybody's off.
Who was most pissed off that Tom Brady retired? Because I know the person.
Who was the most pissed off?
John Lynch.
Giselle.
No, John Lynch is a great answer because I think they absolutely would have begged him to come coach.
At Fox.
You're on the right track.
Greg Olson.
Do you see the deal? If Greg Olson in his contract, if he's on the number one crew, he makes $10 million a year. If he's on the number two crew, he makes $3
million. Oh, are the numbers out on that?
$10 million, $3 million. He's going to make $3 million as part of the number two crew.
Oh, I thought you meant number one in ratings or something.
No.
Okay, all right.
If he's on the number one crew, if Tom Brady supplants him, it's $3 million a year if you're on the number two crew.
And with the amount of money they're paying Brady, he will supplant him. And he will. I think he's become my favorite.
I love Olsen.
He's not number one to me, though.
Would they ever consider a three-man booth with Brady, Olsen? Because I'm telling you this.
If Brady struggles,
Brady
maybe.
Might suck.
That's
and the thing is,
yeah,
but you can't do it if you start the year. I mean, if you start the year with Brady and then you bring Olsen in like week five
it's
and you
obvious.
Start doing a three-man booth, then everybody says Tom Brady's failed.
Well, I mean, I don't think they'll do it like mid-season like they're, you know, bringing in a backup quarterback. I think that they'll do testing with Brady and say, okay, you know what? Three-man crew might be better.
I think Brady, Olsen, Kevin Burkhardt would be freaking amazing.
I don't think Brady's going to suck.
You don't?
No.
I think Brady's likability is so far less Peyton Manning's.
And well, yeah, but he's like
he could be Peyton Manning.
He's like the top of the likability. You know.
Joe Montana was the greatest quarterback ever. They tried him. He sucked.
I don't think Brady's going to suck.
Here's what may hurt Brady, though. Everybody's expecting him to be great because he's the GOAT. Everybody's expecting him to be great. So he may never reach expectations.
That man deuces greatness. He'll be.
I'm actually okay, maybe. Right. I'm expecting him to suck.
I'm expecting him to not be that great.
I think he'll be good.
Okay, yeah, Olsen. I'm in the minority here. I don't think he's a number one yet.
Who's yours?
I don't know. I'm just saying, as a number one team,
you're not a big Romo guy.
No, I like Romo.
Okay, but you're.
Oh,
not,
I like Romo.
Oh, you like Romo? Be number
yeah,
one.
Pat doesn't
pick?
Like Romo.
I hate Romo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love Joe Buck and Aikman.
Yeah. Well, Aikman's number one to me.
Yeah.
He's still the best right now at his craft, being the color analyst. When he gets to do the analysis, it is, it really is, he is the best. Jamie's with us. We've told you about Open House Week. Go to 975thefanatic.com. We want to see you in Open House Week starting February 20th. Live shows, live studio audience, fabulous guests, breakfast for you, prize giveaways, and more. It's John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Look, the big game is now, what, 9 days away? Are you feeling it? Well, have you got the Bet Parks Sportsbook and Casino app downloaded? Because if you're a new customer, this is the perfect time for you to get on board. You can get up to $750 in sportsbook bonus back if your first bet doesn't turn up a winner. This app is safe, secure, and easy to use. We were just talking about some of the odds that are available on betting on Super Bowl MVP. If you want to do that, you can find it there on the Bet Parks app. You can bet on individual player performances and more. Live in-game wagering. So once the game kicks off, you can decide how you want to go by your feel of the game. It's absolutely awesome. You're going to love the Bet Parks app, and you get paid fast, too. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. See betparks.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We appreciate you being here for us on a football Friday on The Fanatic. You know they're presented by Pump Man Philly. They're presented by Pump Man Philly.
Here's the thing. Well, I love Pump Man. You know that.
You love the Pump Man.
We got a busy week next week. I can't be blowing my voice
out.
Yeah,
your voice can't go out. You know that.
You don't want to blow your pumps
Something
out.
I like it.
Hey, you need a water pump expert for your facility, 24/7 emergency repair or pump replacement? Count on Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow.
You hit me next Friday. I got you.
Oh, yeah, Radio Row, that'll go big.
And an empty Radio Row? Absolutely.
Did you ever remember, now, Jamie, you may, because Bob was not in sports talk radio. Pat, you were in
diapers.
High school. Do you remember the Two Live Stews, Jamie?
It sounds familiar,
they used
yeah.
to be on.
Stugatz?
They used to be, it's Two Live Stews, Ryan Stewart and his brother. They were a talk show host for a while in Atlanta against us. On the other station.
Okay, yeah, I vaguely remember.
Then they did like First Take for a while and everything like that until we ran them off the air. But they're great guys. But they would bark at the beginning of their show.
Okay.
Woo, 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 woo. Do this big barking routine at the beginning of their show. Where are the dogs at? Come on, dogs, call. Woo, woo. They would do this thing. Every time they'd be on Radio Row, you could just see stations from all around the country, like Jim Bob and the Weasel
yeah.
from this station. And
Ira and the Douche.
People be like looking across and going, oh, what the hell is that? they would say, we're doing the first show for the streets. We're doing the first sports talk show for the streets. Really fun. They were goofy and nutty, but they'd start this barking routine. And it'd be so funny to watch the more formal shows, wait for it.
You just
wait
for
it. So, walking around, like, what's going on?
If we did that.
Barking?
Not barking, but, like, what do you think our thing would be?
I'm not sure.
Really? Okay.
Go on. Oh, that'd be good.
John Kincaid show, getting you hot.
I'm wondering whether we're going to see Nasty Nestor.
Who?
Nasty Nestor.
I don't want to see anyone named Nasty Nestor.
No, Nasty Nestor
seems
is
like somebody, a nasty name. Okay. Seems like Mark of the Beast, 666.
You wake up next to him.
Nasty Nestor is a legend on Sports Radio Row for wearing Baltimore Ravens, big Baltimore Ravens guy. And he wears his Baltimore Ravens jersey with Nasty on the back. And he does his show, Pat, in a Baltimore Ravens jersey with his name on the back.
Does he have a number on the jersey?
I think he does. It might be the station he worked with or whatever. He's a is smaller in stature. Egan and Nasty would be eye to eye. Pat's like a badger, like a nasty badger.
Yeah, yeah.
But well, one year he was upset with us because of something, and then we were ordering food to be sent to his table.
Why was he upset about that?
I forget. He was pissed at us for something. We were doing something, and he was pissed. Like we were making too much noise when he was trying to record, and he was complaining that we were taking up too much space because we put on more of a circus. So then we ordered short ribs.
We ordered
strawberry shortcake.
I'd be pumped if somebody sent me that.
Come on, Nestor.
Everything was
up.
Anything that was that we sent over food, and he kept getting food delivered, and he didn't know where it was coming from.
Why don't you pull that prank on me, Bob, and Pat right now and start ordering some short ribs.
The short was the idea. Okay. Short ribs, short cake.
All right.
I love both
those things. Short bread. Delicious.
We know Jamie is here thanks to the Daily Odds Pod from Bet Parks, which is a great, great download. And it comes to me automatically every day.
Yeah.
Automatically, it's there. I find it. I can listen to it. A 20-minute daily podcast. You're having fun with it.
I am. I'm trying to, you know, be quick and bring you some information in regards to just the daily storylines and the gambling lines that I encourage everybody to
enjoy.
You're responsibly with your Bet Parks app. So, we go through it together. I'm a better myself. So the highs and lows of the sports gambling world tied in with Philadelphia and beyond.
It's almost like, though, like a little bit of a talk show with the gambling.
Yeah,
like it's
yeah.
Not,
I try not to beat you down.
It's not that hard to follow.
No, it's not. I want to make as big a tent as possible, and I figured if I beat everybody down with gambling talk and percentages all the time, I'm not going to get people. So a little bit of my life, a little bit of Philly sports, and a little bit of gambling, and a quick 25 minutes, just hit subscribe, and I would very much appreciate it.
We all love the bro, and your chance to catch up with him every single day.
Oh, yeah.
We're glad every Friday you're with us, and ecstatic. Then, Jamie.
It's my happy thought before he hit the floor.
I got a happier thought
on Friday.
No, there is no happier thought.
Bob, I have a happier thought for you next week.
All right.
How about more Jamie next week?
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
What are you doing?
I'm going to be filling in Monday through Thursday for Anthony. Big shoes to fill. But
are you
serious? Yeah, me and Chunas are going to do it, as Anthony will be checking in hourly on his ride out to Arizona. So you want Cuz on the road representing us, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's any soldier you're going to send out there to Arizona, you want Cuz. So me and Chunas will be filling in Monday through Thursday.
So it's wake and bake. Reunited.
Yeah.
But Wake and Cake tomorrow morning.
Yes. And then I'll be following Wake and Cake at the Chickie and Pete's in Malvern from 12 to 3.
And what is that called? Stoned out of your mind? Or what is it called? Like, I don't know what
it's just me live from Boulevard. Yeah,
exactly. You'll have a great, great time. So be listening to that. I'm glad to see you've been exposed. It's awesome. The Bet Parks sportsbook there is fantastic. That's right around the corner for a lot of people.
Yeah, I wanted to hang out there. I had somewhere to go last week, but I want to hang out and bet the ponies
a
little bit.
It's a great time. Oh, you like
bar.
That, eh?
Yeah, I liked all the old men sitting at the bar. And, you know, when the race would finish, you'd hear like, or applause. It's fun. It's a good scene.
All right, I have a scenario for all of you. You're stranded at the airport in a snowstorm. It's Super Bowl Sunday. You're not getting home. And you are stranded. You had some appointment. You are stranded. You are not getting home. So you make your way to the VIP airline lounge. Okay? So you're in the lounge. You walk in there. And you grab a cocktail because they're free. And you sit down at a high top table. And it's got a couple stools around it. But you're just sitting there alone. A couple of well-known people come in. They're stranded too. And after grabbing a drink, people are starting to fill up into this place to get ready to watch the Super Bowl, and they ask you if you mind if they join your table. You got two stools. Who is at your high top table and why? Famous people. Two famous people say, hey, can we? Do you mind if we sit with you? And they take those stools at your high top, and you're going to watch Super Bowl 57 with them. Why are you picking them, and who are they? And I wondered where people would go with this.
All right, I'm down to three, so I have to eliminate one.
Yeah, it's got
to
be two people walk in. And by the way, they don't have to be associated with each other.
Yeah.
They could just be people are grabbing seats, and you pick the high top, and it's beautiful.
One was a layup for me. Charles Barkley, I think, would be absolutely awesome because he'd be invested in the game emotionally and financially.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. Yeah, financially.
And he would know when to shut up and just watch the game. Like I don't think he'd know
that.
Well, maybe not. But even if Charles was talking, it would still be fun. And then the other one, I think I'm going Bill Burr. Because he's a sports nut, and that man is a direct line into my funny bone. And I think he'd be a fun guy to watch the game with, have a cigar with, have a scotch with.
I don't know that they're letting cigars in the airport.
Well, let's dream a little, Johnny.
This is the airport lounge.
Yeah.
I mean, it says, who's going to tell Barkley not to light one up?
Yeah. So I'll go with Barkley and Bill Burr.
I had a chance to watch Charles Barkley watch a game that he bet on before.
Oh, that'd be fun.
It was a baseball game the year the Phillies made the World Series, and it was the other
game. In 08.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you don't want to be with him.
No, I do.
It was Neil Hartman's goodbye party at Chickie and Pete.
No, I want to see that.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch him. All right, I got Peyton Manning is one of them.
I love that one.
Yeah, the knowledge of football, the funness of him. I think he'd slam back a couple
bruises. Yeah, I
didn't
go football person.
Yeah, and teach me something at the same time. And then there's this other guy. This is out there a little bit, but I've always found him so interesting, so talented. I'd love to sit down and talk to him. Jamie Foxx.
See, Jamie Foxx is so talented.
Yeah,
he's the most talented dude in Hollywood.
He very well might be.
I think he is. He can
do it all.
He can do everything.
Yeah, and I think he's probably a sportsman. I think you don't get that talented without being pretty cool. I would love to. I've always wanted to sit down and talk with him, meet with him or whatever. So, yeah, I'll go with those two with a sprinkle of Halle Berry maybe thrown in there.
That's fine.
I watched her Hot Ones
recently. No. There's only two stools, Bob. So she had to sit on your lap. That wouldn't be good.
Just kidding.
Pat, where are you going?
This one's tough, guys.
It is?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of celebrities I kind of want to hang out with.
Well, it doesn't.
Bill Murray
famous,
was the other one.
It says famous people. They can be anything.
Okay, so they could be
famous people.
All right, let's go with. So I wrote down Gronk.
I think he would
annoy the hell out of me.
Really?
Yeah, like I think he'd be okay in certain environments, but he kind of annoys me.
I'm with Jamie. I wouldn't want him. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Bug off, Gronk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Go somewhere else.
Thanks
dude.
For poo-pooing my guy.
Pat, you have your own table. Yeah. They don't have to sit at yours.
And this is like a working list. I know this is a sure. topic, John, where once the show ends, I'll have like a list of 50.
Absolutely. That'll do real well for us.
Now, the other one, I think if they weren't playing the Chiefs, this would be great, but Paul Rudd.
Really?
But the problem is they're playing the Chiefs.
That's not
diehard. He's a diehard.
Oh, is he really?
Chiefs.
I didn't know that.
I can't have that.
And I wouldn't. So. Maybe Dawkins, and it's kind of a lazy answer just because it's like a Philly answer.
I feel like Dawk would be too dialed into the game where he wouldn't want to talk.
There wouldn't be any fun with it.
I mean, there would be because the Eagles are going to win.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
We'd have fun. We'd become best friends.
He did
we'd
bust out the Wolverine last week in the box. Did you see that?
He did, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Hey, let's see what Tom in Philly has to say. Tom, good morning. You're on the Fanatic.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy.
I actually, I'm a diehard Eagles fan, as you can probably tell. So I have two celebrities that I thought of that I thought was going to be good. I want to change one of them. I initially had Bradley Cooper and Mike Trout.
I thought about him, Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Coopered out.
I think he'd be cool.
Is Miles Teller going to be sitting there, too?
I'm taking B. Coops over Miles Teller.
I agree.
I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I wouldn't mind Cooper.
But I think I'm going to change it to Bradley Cooper and Kevin Hart, man, because I think I want to.
Yeah, but Kevin Hart's a Fugazi fan of the Eagles.
He's funny.
He puts on every team's jersey. He's worse than Ric Flair. Ric Flair's every team's fan.
I don't know. The Eagles have celebrity fans.
They do.
They could probably go up against anybody in the league. They've grown in popularity.
Can I see Mike Trout again for the 5,000th time?
I'm gonna I'll go with Miles Teller over Bradley Cooper.
And wow.
The reason why. You can, oh my gosh, all you want. It's my table. You're not invited. The reason I'll go with that is because he's an actual fan. Like, they would interview him in 2016 when the Phillies were horrible playing the Dodgers, and he was there. So, I mean, Bradley Cooper's a real fan, but, like, Miles Teller was actively going to bad Philadelphia sporting events to support the team. I think we could have a good conversation. We'd become best friends. Next thing you know, I'm out of here.
Yeah, two things real quick. If I could turn back the clock, Kobe would be one of them.
See, Kobe would be fantastic.
I would love to sit down. And, John, we didn't get yours, did we?
I absolutely would do a very strange combination.
All right.
I would absolutely love to watch that game with Shaq.
That would be fun. He crossed my mind.
He's fun, and he's a big football fan.
Yeah, that crossed my mind.
But he's a Cowboy fan.
Oh, then no.
But sucks.
If the TNT plane got derailed and Shaq and Charles walked in, I mean, that's pretty.
Okay, well, you just brought it to me. It's Ernie Johnson Jr.
Yeah?
Ernie Johnson, EJ, is one of the greatest people. Really? And he is so glib. Funny.
Really?
Right. Underrated sense. Funny. If I'm in that thing, I'm thinking that Shaquille and EJ got part of their plane got derailed. So they're with me.
I had you pegged as a Billy Baldwin guy.
No. Not doing Billy Baldwin.
Okay.
Not doing any of the Baldwins.
Okay.
It's
had
not the safest thing to do
check
now.
This is why we don't do the show before the show.
You don't want to do that.
I had John Kincaid,
that list
Billy
of 50
Baldwin.
Though. I mean, I did send it to you last night. You could have had that list of 50 that you're going to have for me at 10.
Yeah,
you could have had it.
See, we're growing.
I tried to narrow it down to true sports fans, and that's why Bill Murray was in consideration for me.
Yeah,
because he's a true sports fan.
See, to me though, he'd be the one that would be.
He would annoy me.
Oh God!
No, I don't think he puts on a shtick. I think he's pretty normal.
Like, really? He's going to be loaded by halftime.
Yeah, and
really
halftime will be really fun.
Yeah, but then that's going to be distracting the second half when he doesn't.
Well, you don't know what kind of drunk he is. Some people are pretty funny when they're
he's
drunk.
He's a sportsman,
John,
you don't
know. He's a sportsman.
Come on. Who says he didn't do half of his great movies totally wrecked out of his head?
You know, he built.
Oh, have you heard the cocaine Shack? Stories from Caddyshack?
Exactly. Him and his brothers built Bill Murray's Caddyshack. That's so good. If you're ever down on 75. Heading down to the East Coast. You're on the East Coast. You do that. They have it on. Then you jump on to 95, and where you get to the World Village of Golf, which they thought was going to be this big venue. They built the Murray Brothers Caddyshack.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like a PJ Wellahan's based on the movie Caddyshack. Okay. There's never anyone in it.
Huh.
Because the World Village of Golf is just
a ghost town.
Barren wasteland.
Really?
Nobody ever, like, stores didn't go in.
Huh.
They thought they'd build this big mall about golf and everything. Nobody went in.
Wow.
It's just like this empty wasteland. Now you can go play golf, but they have the Golf Hall of Fame there, but nobody goes.
I don't think I'd ever want to go to a Golf Hall of
empty,
Fame.
It's empty. Hey, imagine watching the birds on your big screen while you're enjoying PJ's Famous Wings. Listening up there, Jamie. For takeout only, enjoy 50 PJ's wings for just $50.
There's a very good chance that's in my future Super Bowl Sunday.
But you got to order now at PJsPub.com. You have to get in there and you got to get those orders in.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
And make sure that that is all in there. So.
Yeah, I think that's definitely
I've been on a real wing kick lately.
Have you?
Really, really having a good time.
With what?
Just flavor?
Yeah, I'm just standard Buffalo Hawkeye. Nothing crazy. I mean, I will venture outside, but a good buffalo wing, man, just nothing beats it.
So no, you're not interested in getting like, you know,
Korean barbecue.
Well, a bacon wrap wouldn't travel.
Yeah,
like if you had a bacon wrap wing, you'd have to eat it immediately, or it's just not going to be.
Yawn.
It's not.
You guys really need new material, man, because you're so outdated and jealous. It's ridiculous.
You seem shocked by that, though, which I blame on you.
Pat,
what's the, you said there, you've identified the most pessimistic fan base in the NBA?
I haven't. So this was the NBA Central's Twitter account, which is a pretty decent follow.
It is a pretty decent
follow. They tweeted this out, and this is via a site called Replay Poker. So they had which NBA fans are the most stressed watching the game. This is the percentage of negative tweets that they found. Okay. Where do you think the Sixers rank and who do you think is number one, the most pessimistic fan base in all of basketball?
Clippers.
Clippers are not it.
Mm. Most pessimistic.
I'll go Knicks. Oh, that's not bad.
I'll go pessimistic. Celtics.
Okay.
Because they're bitter people.
So none of you guys are correct. The closest was Bob. He had the Knicks, and the Knicks were number two. They had 31.7% negative tweets that they found. The number one most pessimistic team, and I can't believe this, the Miami Heat.
What?
32.4% of tweets that go out are negative.
Really?
I'm shocked.
I never would have.
They have it pretty good down there.
They do.
Yeah, they have had it pretty good.
They do. Makes you wonder. The Sixers were number four on the list at 27.4% of negative tweets.
Yeah, we're pretty tortured.
Yep. And, yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know if the, if this site decided to do this, you know, after maybe the Thunder game.
Oh.
When they got hammered. But I feel like for the most part, Sixers Twitter's been pretty all right this season.
This year it's been mild.
Well, because the Phillies front-ended it, and now the Eagles are back-ending it. So they have the benefit, which is a great thing, I think, of flying under the radar and gelling as a team while we're distracted elsewhere.
Doc said that, right? Remember? Yeah. Like in the beginning of the year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it's great for it. You know, they'll stay under the radar.
They're in a great spot.
They can. They are. Pat, does it say that there a certain percentage of their attendance has to be tweeting in order? Because the first thing that popped into my head was Miami. Nobody shows up until about halftime.
I don't know what the criteria was.
Plus, it's a lot of people that didn't grow up there.
I'm not sure what the criteria was. So the top was the Heat with 32.4.
Okay.
Knicks 31.7. Golden State Warriors 30.1%.
What are they complaining about?
What are they complaining about?
It reminds me of back in 2010, 2011. So Facebook has the ability to like go back and see your quote memories. In the summertime, I cringe because my negativity around the Phillies losing 1 to 2 games was a lot. I think when you have expectations, it's like it's heightened when you have a losing streak because you're not just, oh, okay, we'll win the division. It's, you have bigger goals, and the first hiccup, you're like, is this gonna be the shoe dropping? So maybe that's it. I might be stretching. After that, you've got the Wizards, Bulls, Hawks, and Nets. Huh. That's your top.
The Nets, I could understand having a negative fan.
Yeah, but they have like,
but they don't even have what,
they have like 275 fans.
Yeah, they is.
Hey, take it for what it's worth.
Gotcha.
I like that though.
But, good one, Pat.
But I was a little surprised that we weren't higher. We were number four.
Yeah, we're a very optimistic group.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we got a pretty good in town. Yeah, we do. But of those pessimistic tweets, where do you think most are centered? If you had to break down percentage-wise.
Doc Rivers. Joel Embiid's health. James Harden, wait till the playoffs. If I see another tweet of, yeah, I'll see what James Harden does in the playoffs. That one seems to come up every single game. James Harden could be having the best game of the. It's like, yep, you can tell it's a regular season. Hope he saves one of these for May.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, even though he's having a great year,
he's tremendous.
Oh my gosh,
they smoked that.
Coming up, we know who the referee is in the Super Bowl, and the stats would tell you we already know the way you need to wager. John Kincaid Show. Remember to get registered for our open house week, which comes up February the 20th. We want you to be our guest in studio here on 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, the Birds have dominated the competition on their march to the big game. And once they destroy Kansas City, they'll be bringing home another title. Another hometown team that dominates the competition, the Pump Man. Pump Man Philly, the experts in troubleshooting, emergency repair, maintenance, and system replacements. They take care of Philly's municipal, commercial, and industrial facilities. They're number one when it comes to number twos. They have got you handled. Building and facilities managers across the region, you can rely on the Pump Man. They're going to keep your wastewater pump ready for anything. Clogs, failures, flooding for major storms. But the Pump Man also does the best in troubleshooting and preventive medicine for your pumps. They're going to design a winning game plan. Just like the Birds, if you're a building or facilities manager, don't fumble. Put Pump Man Philly's number in your phone right now. 833-559-PUMP. That's 833-559-PUMP. It's pumpmanphilly.com. Go Birds.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Five, the Fanatic.
Ah, here it comes. Jamie's back. Pat's dancing. We're ready for the weekend. It's the week before the week.
Pat's dancing. I'm not sure what Connor's
doing. I don't know what Connor's doing. I think he's having a convulsion. Look at Pat shaking it up. You know what? You've had enough of this nonsense around the office. And today's the day you've finally been pushed too far. You say, I'm not coming to any meetings. I'm not dealing with it anymore.
I'm not doing it.
You know what I'm going to do? You're going to take this job and you're going to shove it. That's what he says. Pat's going to break a hip. Man.
He hasn't done this in a while.
He's so happy.
What'd you say? He's backed up?
Strangely, no. It's the first, since like the first Friday in October, Pat hasn't wanted to dance like that. Wonder what happened.
Yeah.
What happened on the first Thursday, I think it was. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We appreciate you being a part of things. 9 o'clock hours brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com.
It's a very comfy hat.
It is. Doesn't it look like a good hat?
It's got like a sweatshirt lining, yeah.
Charles.
It is so.
Charles says that Connor dances like every white guy at every white wedding.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Poor Connor.
That's why I don't dance.
Pat can dance.
It did me a favor. I told him I was like, Connor, I need you. I need you to dance.
Pat knows how to dance. Connor's helping out, though. He's doing all right. He's out there fixing the Wii.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. We'll hear about that coming up. But we appreciate the Bagster for being a part of our 9 o'clock hour. Jamie, I have something for the Daily Odds pod.
Yeah, what do you got?
We know who the referee is.
All right.
So there it is. Carl Sheffers.
What do you say, Carl?
He's the Super Bowl referee. He's reffed two of the last three Super Bowls.
A name doesn't jump out to me for some reason.
No, I'm just going to look really? Up his face because I don't
Carl
really...
Carl Sheffers is the Super Bowl referee. He's reffed 12 playoff games in his career. And postseason games, I should say. And he's ref two of the last three Super Bowls. This guy is considered to be the best of the best. So three out of four Super Bowls, you score out to be the best referee. That's damn good.
Good. Because okay? I hated the narrative after the AFC Championship game. Like, I hate when the refs become a storyline of the game. And that was a late hit. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. But there was a couple other calls. And it was just, there was too much ref talk after a great game.
Well, I got bad news for you, though. His crew threw the most flags per game this year.
Ah.
At 12.6 a game. That's not good to me.
Do you have the numbers of where the Eagles finished the year in terms of penalties by any chance there?
I'm sure I can dig that up.
Is that
for
your
you.
Nerd Boy files?
But I'm sure Nerd Boy can find it. but his crew threw an average of 12.6 flags per game. And what did I like, Bob, last week about the NFC title game? That crew was one of the least throwing flags. They were letting him play.
Yeah,
I worry about this a little bit.
We talked about it. Remember after the Eagles game, I believe we said, we went back and looked, or I went back and looked and said on air, every game there was few penalties, below 10 teams combined. During the regular season, combined it's like close to 13, 12.67. Well, in the playoffs it was down to 8. And that was great. And like I said before, Gene Steratore, very last game that he refereed, Eagles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. His crew let them play.
90 penalties, Jamie.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Kansas 90. City's 87, and Eagles are 90. So it's pretty much...
And that puts them both in the bottom half of the league.
Yeah.
In penalties per game.
Let them play.
These guys call a lot of penalties. But now I give you the gift. The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, thank you for giving me good news.
Okay, there's some good news.
That wasn't bad news.
I don't think it's bad news.
No, you're what I'm saying. You're giving us good news.
Okay, I'm going to give you some really good news here. I know how you should bet the over-under. 12 postseason games in his history. Carl Sheffers and his crew, the under is hit 11 times.
That's pretty substantial.
11 out of 12 postseason games, the under has hit with Sheffer's crew. So all I'm going to suggest is take that into consideration when you are doing that. Or, Jamie, I know you're one to do this, Pat. You're one to do this. You know, sliding that bar over a little bit and adjusting the over-under line. When you know that this guy has hit the under 11 out of 12 games, maybe you give yourself a little wiggle room.
So it's 50.5 on Bet Parks right now. Yeah.
Maybe you bump it to 51.5.
Yeah.
Absolutely, we'll be moving the line.
Yeah, I think that's an under.
And then you bet the under.
I do think that's kind of an under.
So you do think under on this one?
Yeah, I think it's going to be what I thought last weekend was going to be, except Sunday I got the feeling it was going to be ugly. I think this is like a mid-20s close game, probably like a field goal decides it type of thing.
Oh, no. I mean, that just is going to – I'm going to be so anxious if it's that.
There's history here.
Okay, what's the history?
All right, so I don't know what year it was when Kansas City lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC divisional round.
Okay.
A few years ago, whatever. Travis Kelce was fined $12,500 for comments that he made about referee Carl Cheffers. And this is what he had to say. Referee number 51 shouldn't even be able to wear a zebra jersey ever again.
Oh.
He shouldn't even be able to work at a effing Foot Locker.
Oh,
that's a good line.
History.
That's a good line.
No, yeah. I love this.
I just looked him up. I know who this guy is.
Yeah,
you know,
once you see the name.
If you see him, you know him. But here's one good thing. They have a lot of penalties. His crew calls a lot of penalties. But we hardly know the guy. I had to look him up. And then when I saw his face, I went, okay, I know who he is.
Yeah, I don't know most of their names, but when I see their faces, I know who they are. And if I recognize their faces, that's not a good thing, because that means they're on your television a little bit too much. That means they're making penalty calls. Let the guys play.
Yeah, let them play.
They've earned to be here. Let them go.
Let's let them play, right?
I got to say, it's the one thing I might say most often in watching a game to myself, whether it be live, high school, college. Let them play. Just let them play. You know, like, they know how to play. Let them play.
Yeah, like if you want to, you can call a penalty on every single play in the NFL.
Yeah.
So you do believe that. I do believe that old adage of...
Yeah, Jason Kelce actually said it on his podcast this past week when he was talking to Travis about, you know, the calls in the AFC and just how it's kind of lame when games are decided by the refs. And Jason said it. He's like, if you're looking for a penalty, you can find it on every play. So he admitted to it. I mean, it's just they're so big and strong. There's going to be a holding or an illegal block or something.
Your hands go somewhere they shouldn't. Yeah.
It's just natural. There's how many refs in a game?
Nine, I would say.
Well, there's one.
Nine, and then, you know, you've got 22 guys on a field. They can't be looking at everything, you know?
Yeah. Well, these guys do call a lot, though. And that's the only thing
I'm saying.
The only thing I don't like about this news.
And Travis was talking about how they have, like, it's not a challenge, but they do this, like, auto-review on certain non-scoring plays where he thinks the refs get called down from above. So he said that's, like, a new element the last year or two in the league. So, yeah, it's probably over-litigated overall.
Here's what I don't like.
But unless it affects the actual outcome of the game, it doesn't bother me.
Last Sunday, it seemed like they had to huddle up on every call.
Yeah.
They were doing the huddle up. Urkel was doing the game.
Yeah, Eagles-Niners was long.
And they were huddling up on every single call.
It can screw up the flow of the game.
I'm like, come on, dudes. Did you make the call or did you not?
I know.
And if you made the call, come on.
Well, it's that nervousness of they don't want to screw up. And little did they know that in a couple hours, you know, the Chiefs Bengals crew would just say, hold my beer. Because that crew was...
Because I didn't think it was bad... I didn't think the refereeing was bad last Sunday at all, but it did. It dragged.
It was a weird game.
Yeah, that was a weird game. The Eagles was kind of fine.
Yeah, I didn't think there was a problem.
Yeah, I would love to hear referees go to both teams before a game. Hey, guys, listen, big game. Play hard. Play your asses off. Keep it clean, and we're not looking to call much. Keep it clean, though. That's all. Let the players play their best when they know what they're allowed to do. And that's why the Eagles game was so entertaining against the Patriots a few years ago. Because, they let them play. They knew they could get, I don't want to say get away, but they knew what they could and could not do. If something was called, you were being egregious. All right, I can do this, but I can't be egregious doing it. That's it. Just let them play.
I don't, I can't remember, what was the big penalty from Super Bowl 52?
The one that wasn't called,
an Eagle, a call that went against the Eagles.
I can't think right now. I can't think of one.
Nothing jumps to mind right away. The one that New England could complain about, what was the hit that put what's-his-face out of the game?
Malcolm Jenkins made the hit.
Yeah,
so that was clean.
It was a clean hit.
He got a shoulder into his shoulder. Like, I don't remember leading with the head or anything like that.
I thought there was head-on-head contact.
No, I thought it was like textbook.
It was
absolutely textbook. There was no flag on the play. I was surprised there wasn't a flag on the play because it looked so vicious.
Someone's going to overreact.
It's one of those, I mean, you see in hockey all the time, it looked really bad when it's a clean hit. And it was clean, man. He lowered the boom.
Hey, listen to Jamie on the Daily Odds Pod, the 20-minute daily podcast where Jamie talks everything betting, football, Philly sports on the Bet Parks Sportsbook app. Jamie with the app, too. Everybody can download it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quick and painless.
Once you download it once, then you can just...
Yeah, just subscribe to it or be there, like it or whatever Apple Podcast says to do. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and thanks to Bet Parks for... presenting the podcast and also allowing me to come in here in studio with my old pals, my old radio friends.
We love that. Jamal Hutchinson said he thinks he'd like to watch a game with David Boreanaz.
Really?
You can't.
Bones?
David Boreanaz. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Bourdain. I'm sorry.
Anthony Bourdain. You can. And there'd be hallucinations.
That name might not come up with a thousand names.
He's number one Flyers guy. Yeah.
There'd be hallucinogenic mushrooms at the table if Anthony Bourdain had been alive.
Absolutely hit him in the head.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like he could have broke his jaw. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, John. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
It's all right. No. Ron says he wants Mike Trout. No.
I don't know anything about Mike Trout's personality.
No, I don't want Mike Trout.
And that's a fall to Major League Baseball.
I'm just tired of the Mike Trout. It just is. It's tired to me. The Bradley Cooper, Mike Trout, Miles Teller triumvirate.
What? Because they go to games?
It's the same over and over again. It's like showing the.
Well, then you can't hate Mike Trout. You got to hate Fox for showing him all the time.
The picture of cheesesteaks being made.
Okay, you don't hate the cheesesteak.
No, but it's the same old. Have some the creativity of it. I don't have to see Mike Trout every single game.
Okay, but that's nothing against Mike Trout. Is all I'm saying.
No, the thing is, me seeing it.
Right.
I don't need to see it every game. Like during the baseball playoffs, I didn't need to see the Miles Teller every single freaking game. Didn't need it.
Yeah,
just a little.
It's a reality you're going to have to accept.
They find something and then they're going to just drag it into the ground.
Well, like one of the Super Bowls, one of my jobs was to be, I would take a celebrity card because I was like low man on the totem pole, and I'd go to the seat locations of where the celebrities, the producers got a slip of where people were sitting, and they would work on the camera shots and angles of it. So I would sit there and hold a sign that said Bradley Cooper, and I'd sit in the club box. Like,
did people think you were Bradley Cooper?
No, it was an empty stadium. We were doing it during rehearsals. But it's not
Jamie
going anywhere.
Thought he was Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I got to pretend to be Bradley Cooper.
Hey, Pat has a point of view about something that we were all doing just a little while ago.
This is Pat's point of view. Here's Pat.
Do you guys know what happened 5 years ago tomorrow?
I do, because it's one of my favorite days of my entire life.
February 4th. Nothing rings a bell, Pat. What happened?
Well, 5 years ago, you nerds, the Eagles won their first Super Bowl.
Was so awesome.
I'd like to go around the room, and I'm interested to hear what you guys were doing that day. When you think back to 5 years ago, because for me, it's very vivid. Everything that I did.
Every single part of that day is completely known. I had breakfast at Alexa across the street underneath the Eiffel Tower. My wife had booked a massage for me at the Bellagio. I did a steam. I played cards almost all day. I started having my first cocktails at 10 a.m.
Steams are great.
And there it was.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 1 p.m. here, so you're fine.
I'm hosting. It was a 3:30 kickoff for the Super Bowl in Vegas. And I was hosting the Super Bowl party at the Bellagio, and I didn't have to be in the room till 2 o'clock, so Vegas time. So I spent the morning gambling, got a massage, had a great time. It was awesome. It was one of the most wonderful days of my entire life.
So I met two buddies at the Chickie and Pete's in South Philly when I went out to get my poster board and markers in my morning errands. I was picking up, I think, Primo's Philly Pretzel Factory tray. I met two buddies at Chickie's for a good luck beer because
my buddy was undefeated when he went to Chickie's pregame for a beer. So it was like a good luck toast to the birds. Okay. Went home, got ready for the party. I remember calling into Anthony's show, and I said, they're winning this game. I'm supremely confident. I hosted a party at my house. Ended up watching the game alone in my bedroom because I accidentally watched the first two touchdowns up there. Was on my hands and knees ready to vomit by the end of the game.
You hosted a party and then you didn't watch it with your guests?
Yep. I went up to the bedroom on a 13-inch TV.
What?
I was a nervous wreck.
A 13-inch TV?
Yeah, like a real
tiny
one.
You watched the Super Bowl on a 13-inch TV?
I've never heard this part of the story. It's even better.
So I set up two TVs down in my living room and then one in like our dining room area. It was a South Philly row home, so I stretched out over the first floor. And for some reason, I was up and down, probably because nerves. I pace a lot of big games.
Okay.
And I ended up watching the first touchdown up there. And they were driving on the second one, and something came over me where I was just like, I got to go, I gotta go up. They scored the last, you know, stupid sports fan stuff. Next thing you know, I watched both touchdowns up there, and I was like, well, I got to stay up here now. So I just watched it alone, alone in my bedroom.
Bobby, you were in a weird situation, though.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about it. But my most memorable thing from that day, and I brought it up on air Anthony yesterday because he called me in to talk about something, was getting in the car to do some things early because I had to do a pregame show and turning on the radio and hearing Anthony's excitement. And he was out doing a broadcast on Super Bowl morning and hearing him screaming and hollering and having all the, being only the way Anthony can be. It got me going so much for that Super Bowl.
See, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's it was a tough time because my father-in-law had just died and all that. But, the good thing that I remember out of that day, besides the others, was starting it off with Anthony. That was a phenomenal.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. It's the memories of that moment. Did you cry when they won? I did. Tears of joy. But tears of joy immediately were coming down my face.
I might have had a quick one, yeah.
I absolutely did.
We ran outside on some pots and pans and then ran up the Broad Street. It was phenomenal.
You did not, Pat?
No.
You did not either? Oh, you guys are too cool.
No, it's not cool. That. I just
No, well, the way you said that, it is, you did not. Emotion.
I said no. You said, did you cry? I said no. How did our TV just turn on by itself?
I don't know. Crazy. Somebody's hitting it, I guess. That might have been at that point.
I blame Connor. No, I don't have those. Like, I'm not against it at all. Like Anthony said, he cried his eyes out. I love that.
I did not cry my eyes out, but tears immediately started to fall. And then my daughter FaceTimed me.
Yeah.
And seeing her on the FaceTime and she's crying. And she says, Dad, they finally won the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. And I said, and you're 14. Was what I answered.
Yeah.
She only had to wait till she was 14.
Yeah. You know, it just hit me why I said no. So, this is weird, but I was in eighth grade, and we lost a game. We got our asses kicked by Rock, believe it or not.
What?
Rock went to an opposing grammar school, and they were great, and they killed us. I came home from the game, and my dad was like, how was the game? And I got teary-eyed because I was so upset that and he went to me, he goes, come here. Don't you ever, ever cry over a game.
Really?
He said, you're playing a game. Don't you cry. And it stuck with me. And I guess maybe that's why I didn't. It just popped into my head just now. But
that's a strange memory.
I remember where I was standing when he said it. I swear to God, in my kitchen, don't you ever cry over playing a game.
That's probably...
So maybe that's why.
It's probably good. Now, the thing is, though, playing a game and crying about a game is a little different.
Right.
And I think tears of joy and tears of being a wimpy-ass whiner
They're different.
Are two different things.
Yeah. E-Rock just sent me a picture from Broad Street. I ran into him that night up on Broad Street. I had the dog mask with me.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You did.
The dog mask that was famously on Good Morning Football that year because they couldn't locate one.
So you gave Kyle yours?
I don't even know who wore it. Yeah, I guess it was Kyle. But one of the producers from Good Morning Football sent me a DM, a local guy, and was like, dude, do you mind if we borrow your dog mask? We can't find any here. So, yeah, my dog mask was on Good Morning Football that year.
I remember seeing Jamie on Broad Street and yelling like, Jamie, Jamie. And I went to go walk like over to say hi to and he ran away.
Yeah, I remember. I remember he told me that.
And then the next day
and
he was
Pat
like,
Pat was crying when he told me that.
Yeah, and the next day James was like,
so
oh.
So that made Pat cry, but nothing else did.
Jamie's like, oh, sorry, man. I didn't see you there. I was too busy eating horse poop.
What a great, exactly. Yeah. Now, you're not eating horse poop this time around, though, Jamie, right?
No,
I got a belly full of horse poop and you lay this on me? I wonder where that guy is today.
By the way, did you hear the, it was a really clean night in Philadelphia on Sunday night.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, but it wasn't when they went, the last time it wasn't. Windows were broken, stuff got, Sunday night was a mob scene, but it didn't have the same level of damage and everything like that. And I wonder, have people grown up?
I don't remember that from the last time.
I remember a lot of the flowers.
The restaurants had their, what do you call it, over the door?
Awning?
Oh, the awnings.
The awnings destroyed. Windows.
Those big concrete,
destroyed.
Like flower
yes,
potters.
They were destroyed. They were tipped over.
Tipped over. I think a car might have gotten flipped. It was fairly minimal for the first Super Bowl.
It was fairly minimal.
It was pretty much good vibes.
Yeah, I can tell you that.
It was awesome out
Pat,
there.
That was one of the fun things the other night. Talking to my kids in class about what they did, because a lot of the Temple kids went out and they were pouring onto Broad Street last Sunday night and everything, and they weren't there for the last one, and they were like, it was awesome.
So when I was waiting for my buddy on Broad Street, because he lived on Broad Street but he lived farther down closer to Temple's campus, so I was waiting kind of on City Hall for him, and we had a designated area because cell service was going to be bad. I'm standing there, and I see the entire Temple basketball team run by.
Really?
Because they had a game that day, and I think Charlotte, and they flew back that day. I don't even know how much of the game they had seen, but they landed, and they came running down and part. And I'm like, oh, there goes Shiz Alston, and like it was the whole team.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, so it was cool. And then for the Phillies parade, I was down at Temple watching the Phillies win. And then I walked down to City Hall and met people. So Temple's a really good spot. When the teams are going good, and you win a championship, Temple.
Good spot
Temple's
to be.
A really good place to be.
Yeah, I'm missing being in South Philly for this run. Well, because it was just so easy to run out and go to Broad Street and all that. Now I'm a lame suburbs dude.
No, you're really not. You're just lame.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with the suburbs.
I was lame in South Philly.
It has nothing, exactly. It's got nothing to do with it.
At least I was close.
You were the bad boy, soy boy of South Philly.
I mean, honestly, now, Jamie, you've just transitioned into just being a man of the people.
Yeah.
So, hey, we're heading to the final stretch of the morning presented by Stretch Zone. If you want to relieve sore muscles, increase your flexibility and range of motion, book your free 30-minute stretch session today at stretchzone.com. So much to get to in the final half hour of the show. Then Cuz Radio comes your way at 10. Cuz getting ready to pour himself into a cross-country trip in a Winnebago. I can't wait to hear the stories before the stories. John Kincaid's show on The Fanatic. How does it feel inside your home today? Are you feeling a little drafty this morning? Because if you are, it's because it's damn cold outside. And you know what you need to do? You need to realize that you've got to get your heating and air conditioning system maintained. Your gas furnace needs to tune up. And for $59, my friends at H&H Heating and Air Conditioning will be there for you for that gas furnace tune-up. Now, you may wake up this morning and realize it ain't going to be a tune-up, John. I've needed a new system, and I've known I've needed a new system. Well, H&H has got rebates of up to $1,500 or 0% financing for 18 months if you're a qualified buyer. If you woke up to a cold house this morning, contact DelcoHVAC.com. The Hoke brothers will take care of you. And then get on a maintenance system so you can make sure your system's always running well. That's what we do. You're going to see why I always tell you, count on the Hoke brothers and H&H Heating and Air Conditioning. Go to DelcoHVAC.com.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm the Fanatic.
Don't look up. It might be a Chinese spy balloon.
John Kincaid.
What was that story yesterday?
Yeah, they're just letting it stay there.
Yeah, blow that thing out.
They're just going to let it stay there. Yeah, we're just going to let it stay there. The balloon is now flying over.
They just won a Super Bowl ticket. They're just going to fly above the enclosed stadium.
It's unbelievable. They're like, yeah, we're just going to let it stay there because we don't want it to fall on anybody.
But are they letting it stay there?
Because they don't want it to
are
fall
they
on anybody.
Rid of it or?
No, they're not going to shoot it out of the sky.
What are they doing?
They're going to just leave it alone because the Chinese can do whatever they want over our airspace.
They should let it. They should get rid of it.
I think it should be shot down like instantaneously because then it's obvious that we're saying, yeah, whatever you want to do, it's okay.
They're just letting it stay there.
You're allowed whatever you wish. Do whatever you want. It's our airspace. You can do that. Pick it on out. Hey, Sixers and the Spurs tonight. 8 o'clock.
Sixers are minus 10 on the Bet Parks app.
9.5. I grabbed 9.5. Did it go up?
It was this morning when I was on.
9.5.
I like them tonight, but I wouldn't play any Embiid and Harden overs. I think they could be sitting late in the fourth. Might affect their player props. So I'm looking at a little Melton.
What
Maxie.
Are you thinking about Sunday being the day when they will do all the?
Yeah, I just think they're gonna cruise a little bit tonight.
Tonight could be like a 30-point win.
Yeah.
I could see like a 123-99, 123-95. I don't know about.
Oh man,
Brett
you say
Brown.
Big time blowout.
Yeah, they're in a rebuild. San Antonio,
yeah, they are.
Brett Brown, I don't know how much he's going to, like, give to them to stop Embiid or anything like that.
Not that they even have options to do
that. Yeah, no. The only thing you got to look out for, again, 3-game road trip, is everybody healthy tonight?
That's why I say avoid the Stars player props tonight from a gambling aspect.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to get a little bit of a night off.
And I think if Embiid takes the whole night off, I still think it's a blowout.
Yeah.
Scotty asks in an email. He says, you guys were talking about the Sixers playing the Spurs tonight. He goes, isn't it funny that no one seems to comment on the fact that Pops now sucks as a coach when he doesn't have Hall of Famers on the floor?
Are you going to let me finish my statement or not?
I think most great coaches.
I think you can say that about every
great players.
Coach. Yeah.
And most great players. Most great players have great coaches.
Yeah.
Most great coaches have great players.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't think Pop sucks as a coach now.
Scotty is a Lakers fan, by the way.
You can have a bad team and still be a great coach.
He's got Lakers. He's got Phillies.
Yeah.
Phillies.
One of those.
Phillies, Eagles, Lakers.
Yeah.
Like, what's that even about?
I'll take Pop on the Sixers.
I mean, Pop's a hell of a coach.
Doc's doing all right. But I'll take that trade.
Next level, Bob, hearing all the stuff about him and the individual relationships and how he builds them with individual players and takes them out for his wine summit.
Yeah, and above that, look at when his team was winning like 5 championships in 10 years, he did it with 3 different offenses. He completely changed his offenses every time because you had 2 big men, then you had 1 big man, then you went to 3-point shooting and a pass-happy offense that was copied by everyone. It just doesn't, no. Greg Popovich is still a great coach.
We want to remind you, Open House Week. We announced it earlier this morning, the week of February 20th. We'll have Open House Week. We're doing live shows in our new performance studio each day. And you can come and watch and take part. We'll have breakfast each morning. Special guests will be joining us throughout these shows and giveaways in the studio audience. Space each day is limited. So you got to go to 975thefanatic.com now. Click on the open house link and reserve a spot for you and a guest. You'll have one chance to come. Like we're not going to, you don't get to come like every single day. So you have one chance to be able to be a part of it. Coach, will Open House Week cause you to finally have gray hair?
No. It's going to be great.
People are going to come in. It'll be fun. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, breakfast, giveaways.
People
get
nuts.
To actually meet Pat.
Pat?
I'm sorry, what?
That's a bonus.
There it is, exactly. There it is. There's the bonus. It's going to be fun.
So people are coming in.
Yeah, they're coming in.
Far and wide.
And they're going to meet you. Every day we're going to have a live studio audience watching us work.
Like the people that tweet in, they might be there.
Yes.
Maybe the people that are
YouTube
even on
crew.
Our YouTube can come in,
there,
too.
They'll be there, too.
That would be great.
No.
I hope the YouTube crew will be there.
Was I consulted on this?
You don't get a vote on that. No, you get half a vote.
No, I like the YouTube crew. They're cool.
So they'll be there. So if you want to come, get yourself registered, but do it quickly and make sure, because it is space limited. Each day.
Just do it for the free breakfast.
That's not bad. And giveaways.
Yeah.
Hey, Staples stores are a new world of possible, innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. You can explore more at your local Staples store or visit staplesconnect.com. And if you're thinking, well, I work, I can't do it, remember, Monday the 20th is President's Day. So if you have off for President's Day, if you're a school teacher, if you're whoever, that would be a good day for you to try to grab and get in there and be a part of the audience that day. So do it. All right, the sports genie sprung from her bottle and has got an offer for you. I don't know why I make the sports genie a woman, but I always think it's like, I think of Barbara Eden. And she could spring from a bottle anytime she likes.
I think
and
more of
Christina Aguilera.
I think you more
do,
of...
You think of Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
Oh, I think of Barbara Eden. You think of who?
I think of Williams. What's his face? From Aladdin.
Okay.
Why can't I just,
Robin Williams?
Robin Williams, yeah. That's my genie.
Okay.
That's my genie, too.
Robin's yours.
Yeah. That's what I grew up
man,
with.
I just,
all right, well... I like our choices better. But the genie's
Pat
out.
I have the best genie.
The genie is out. And there's an offer on the table for you. Because the genie wants to make sure you have a grand time next Sunday night around 10 after 10. The Eagles are going to be guaranteed to win the Super Bowl. And better yet, their window to win remains open. So not only do the Eagles win the Super Bowl, but their window to win further championships remains wide open. So the genie's giving you a good deal, except you have to choose whether the Sixers or the Phillies never will win another championship in your lifetime. You got to pick a team, and you got to say, I'll take that. So I get another Lombardi trophy and a wide open window to have the potential to win more Super Bowls after that. But you have to choose the Phillies or the Sixers.
Mm. Mm.
Do any of you take the deal?
Absolutely not.
Because of the fact, why? What is your thought process that you would not take that deal?
Because this hypothetical situation with genies is guaranteeing that one team does not win.
Correct.
But if I don't take the deal, it's not guaranteeing that the teams don't win. It's just saying they're not winning
I'm
right
so
this second.
Confused.
That's a great... No, it's the truth. Pat's logic is safe.
Yeah,
if you're guaranteeing one of your team does not win.
Yeah.
But we could still win without the genie's assistance. You can still win.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm looking at you. You're ruminating on this.
Yeah. Because my thinking is I've already experienced the high of the Phillies, but baseball's so long, I don't want to close them out of it.
And I know how much you want a Sixers title.
And I want a Sixers title so damn bad. I don't think I can take the deal, no.
No, I'm never shutting out any other teams of winning. To
all
get
three
one.
Of you
never.
Say no.
If you give me the Flyers,
ever,
deal.
Ever,
well, no,
never.
I'm not giving you the Flyers.
Oh,
all
right.
Not giving you the Flyers.
That would be a lot easier of a decision.
The genie didn't even mention the Flyers.
Yeah.
The genie is afraid of John Tortorella. So that's it. You know,
no, I'm tempted by it, and I couldn't.
You were tempted.
It's Sophie's choice. I couldn't decide between Phillies and Sixers.
You've seen the Phillies win twice, though. You've seen them win. I mean, you haven't.
Well, just once.
I mean, to me, I almost could pull the trigger on that one just to say the Sixers can win.
But I want the Phillies is such a long season. It's such a big part of summer that it's hard to just. No, watch them and know they won't win. So for that reason, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm never making a deal with anybody about, oh, just give me this one and I don't need more, because that's a lie. It's a complete and utter lie.
But if you talked to me in 2017, I probably would have taken it.
You said it then, but you were lying because a year later you were pissed off at the Eagles, Sixers, Eagles.
No, it was different.
Not doing so. No, it wasn't.
I told Anthony I would take the 10-year deal.
You're lying to yourself. Yeah, but you didn't.
No, the following year when it all kind of like fell apart, I went, at least we saw one. I wasn't the same angry person. It changed me.
1 year, maybe.
I don't have the same vitriol fan. That I used to have.
Yes, you are. No. You're the same fan now.
No, I don't.
Yes, you are.
Nope.
I'm not this. I can say this. I can say right now.
I'm better.
I am not the same Eagles fan since seeing them win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm not the same.
I'm not.
And
okay.
I'm disappointed. And I'm disappointed that I know if they lose the Super Bowl, I'm going to be pissed. But it's not going to feel anything like before. because they've already won one.
I don't think that sucks. All right, Kansas City hits a field goal, wins by two, with time runs out.
It's more heartbreak than anger.
You're not going to go back to 17?
That's more heartbreak, though.
Crap.
It's more heartbreak than
that's
anger.
Ridiculous.
No, I've changed. That is
100%.
You really don't think you have not been changed by that Super Bowl win?
As soon as you win a Super Bowl and you celebrate for a week or a World Series and you celebrate, then your focus goes to winning another one.
I don't
care if you're a fan, player, coach, whatever.
Yeah, but once,
your focus right away goes to rooting for another one.
But once it's under the belt, there's a monkey off the back. Yep. There's a load off.
Wow.
I can tell you my reaction for them going to this Super Bowl was slightly less.
Yes.
The last one.
Yeah.
It was less.
I was excited. I was pumped, but I caught myself being like, man, I should probably be more excited about this. And maybe it's because I just expected them to dummy the 49ers. I expected them to win. We all did our predictions. We had two score games. So maybe that's why. But I mean, I didn't have the same like, holy crap moment that I did.
It didn't. Sunday night, I was really, really happy. But it wasn't the same. It didn't feel like that Minnesota game. It did not have that same energy of... The other night was almost relief that this team is meeting every expectation and meeting every single challenge. And two, the quality of the game, just blowing out these teams the way that they have.
69-14 in two games in the playoffs. That seems pretty good.
They're just punking
them. How many points have they scored?
69, Bob.
They're just punking them.
Yeah, it is cool.
I mean, it is, and that is, there's an energy to it that just doesn't have the same desperation.
No, and it's not a bad thing.
No, I don't think so either.
I was just convinced I was never going to see a Lombardi trophy go down Broad Street in my lifetime.
So you're satisfied?
Yeah. I mean, I can die happy. That doesn't mean I don't want more.
No, exactly.
But yeah, I'm satisfied. But
I absolutely will die when I die. I will absolutely die differently than if I had never seen that Super Bowl.
You can't do the Eagles pallbearers and have the Eagles let you down one more time joke anymore.
When I'm on my deathbed, Bob, I know for a fact.
If I'm on my deathbed and a sports team's on my mind, I am screwed out of my brain.
Are you kidding me?
Really?
He's not that guy, Pat.
Really? I'll be thinking of my family and all that. You're going to be thinking of, take me, God, because, look, first of all, I don't want to die. Doesn't matter whether the Eagles won.
You are a little afraid of that.
Pat, I'm teasing you. Go ahead.
No, as you say, you would be you, like the whole idea that you won't be thinking of a sporting event. You absolutely will. You'll be thinking of the glory days at Camden Catholic. You'll be thinking of Kyle
Brock and Glenn. What are they going to do with that?
Like,
yeah.
Like
I will
happened.
Be thinking of my friends and my family.
Well,
yes.
Part of that is that. It's part of that is your sports and your friends.
You can't walk this back. You're a sports guy.
I told the doctor coming out of anesthesia after a surgery as a cancer patient, the first thing I said was, the Eagles haven't won the Super Bowl.
You weren't wrong.
And it was like, well, yeah, he's fine. The Eagles haven't won the Super Bowl.
Did you guys hear about the at the Giants game, the guy that went into cardiac arrest and got saved by the guy in the Mummers Parade? No, it wasn't the Giants game. It might have been the Saints game. But he got saved. And apparently the first thing he said was, what's the score? Like, that's kind of incredible. Like, that's the mindset of a sports fan
awesome.
I'm on my deathbed. I'll probably be thinking of a couple of sporting events.
Oh, my gosh. You'll think of the greatest moments.
But the fact that I know so many people that had loved ones die before watching the team win a Super Bowl, I can die happy now.
Make sure you see StaplesConnect.com. Staples stores the new world of possible. They've got innovative tools for small business, remote workers, and learners. You can explore more at your local Staples store. Bob just doesn't believe us on this. Like,
I think you guys are taking dying a little lightly, that one of your last thoughts is going to be, I'm happy because the Eagles won a Super Bowl in 2017.
Yeah, it's a big part of my life.
It's one of the happiest moments of my entire life.
Okay.
That day was one of the happiest moments of my entire life.
Bob, you act like you've died before.
No, I'm not acting like. I just think I know the reality of death isn't a good thing, and I really don't know.
How do you know
that I'm going to go back to 2017 as being one of the last things I think of?
What dead guys have you interviewed?
See, like,
I was just with somebody dying a few weeks ago.
No, but
I can tell you his last thought had nothing to do with the Flyers, Eagles, Sixers, or Phillies.
His last thought was, "Who the hell is this guy in front of me?"
Oh boy,
sweat equity I've been put into being a sports fan—it's definitely going to come up.
Hey. Coming up Monday through Thursday next week, Jamie, you're back. Well, you're back for 4 days as part of doing Cuz Radio with Tunis.
Yeah, I got the call. Anthony's going to be in the road on the road. Casey Boy and Jackie Bam Bam. I kind of want to live stream that car.
I hope they have a camera in there.
It should be a reality show.
Yeah.
No, this is a perfect reality show.
Yeah, so I get to come in and fill in with Andrew and reunite Wake and Bake Radio from our old Saturday show. So it'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Bob, you wanted to talk about a retirement, not death, but a retirement.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
All right, so we had a pretty big retirement this week, again, as the GOAT retired again. And it made me just go back and think of retirements, and we hit on it just a little bit the other day, John. But I was talking about Steve Carlton getting released, and that brought tears to my eyes because I was at the stadium when it was announced. But what is the retirement that you guys remember most, whether it be because it was earlier than you expected, whether it be because they retired, they unretired, they retired, they unretired, whatever it may be. What retirement of an athlete, though, really sticks out to you and why?
Brett Favre's constant retiring.
That was a big story, right? I forgot about that.
A good one.
And the best part is that it was documented that it was annoying the hell out of,
everybody.
Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers used to comment on it and everything about it. And then Aaron Rodgers now does it every year. Brett Favre didn't want to come to work. He just wanted to play games. He was the Allen Iverson of his generation. Didn't want to practice, just wanted to work. So that was all what that was about. I'll retire, but then I don't want to have to come to training camp.
All right, take it another one. Do you have a retirement that you have a good thought about? We'll come back to you. Go ahead,
mine's
James.
A weird one. It's not even Philadelphia related. It was Magic Johnson.
That was a great one.
Gosh.
That was such a huge story. And
was
I was
that 93?
92? 92,
yeah, something
I
like that.
Say. No, 92 was the dream team, so it was before that. 91, 90?
Wow,
like
that's incredible.
And I was just like hitting my NBA, like, you know, diehard fandom. And I just, you know, I didn't really understand what was kind of happening. It was such a huge news story. That one jumps out to me.
That's a great one. That's probably the biggest one of our lifetime.
91.
Okay. 91, yeah. He retired.
How about you, Pat? Anyone?
Retirement-wise, like in a good way?
Any way you want it. It could be good, bad, and different.
I kind of go
too early, too late.
Yeah, I skew pessimistic. So there's three that come to mind. Iverson, because he was just a shell of himself.
Yeah.
And if you remember, the way he retired was his daughter had some health issues going on, and he just never came back.
Correct. I remember.
And you were covering it.
Yeah.
Dawkins, because the year that he retired, there was rumblings of, hey, could he come back to Philly and finish it here? And he never did. And I talked about it yesterday. I will never forgive Joe Banner for letting him walk to Denver. And then the other one is Roy Halladay. I was at Roy Halladay's last start in Philly. He got shelled by the Marlins, and it was painful to see. And he had that surgery. It didn't work, and it was sad because you knew what he was, and he fell off a cliff so steep, and it sucked. That one hurt.
I got one that you'll never think of.
Go ahead.
Because Pat and Jamie weren't even really around for it. Dick Vermeil. The first time.
Oh, wow.
When Dick Vermeil left the Eagles,
yeah,
he was a young man.
He was burnt out.
And he was very successful, and he was burnt out. And then he goes and does TV for like 15 years before he comes back to the NFL. I remember when Dick Vermeil retired, I was like, ah, crap. Because you thought you had your coach for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he was beloved in this town.
Yeah, he was. That's a good one. I brought it up the other day, and one that sticks with me is Mike Schmidt. Standing on the field at, although he knew he was going to retire, they were out in San Diego. They came home and he announced it. And him crying and just watching the greatest player at his position hang him up, even though he didn't want to. That stuck with me. The type of retirements I like most are when guys retire on top and don't think anything about it and just say, yep, I had a great run.
That's what I'm worried about with Kelsey. I'll tell you one that sticks out is...
He wins it. I'm afraid he could just walk it off.
The way that Peyton walked away.
Wait, who did you say?
Kelsey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to think this is the last game we see him as an Eagle.
Oh, I don't think there's any chance.
I don't think so either.
I honestly do not think he's retiring.
But, like, he made a comment on the podcast this week about, oh, that guy's still, like, kind of mocking himself. Like, oh, that guy's still doing it and putting his body on the line. I was like...
Wait a minute. I got two. I got two from the Kelsey podcast. You can go back just to... In the past month.
It makes me think it's on his mind.
Two different comments that he made about he not understanding guys, though, when they're still playing at the top of their game.
Yeah,
how they would want to walk away. And he's at the top of his game. He's a Pro Bowl.
I know.
So I don't see him.
I don't either.
Like walking away at the top of your game, he made a comment twice in the since like Christmas. And I'm like, that tells me he's at the top of his game. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And I think it was McClain that I heard say it. One of the beats I heard say it saying, look, this isn't an overstatement that Kelce may be playing his best football of his career right now.
Which is crazy. Hard to
and
believe.
He's 35 years old. And he's been great, great, great before.
He's a Hall of Famer. So what is it? Yeah. Is it expertise between the years?
No. It could be that. It could be surrounding cast. Sorry, Pat.
I think that's what it is. I think it's surrounding cast. He's had a career of great offensive lines around him. This was a year where primarily everyone was stayed healthy, and it's the best offensive line amazing. We've ever seen.
It's amazing. Dickerson's a monster.
And he's always getting banged up, and then it's like, flesh wound.
Yeah.
I'm back in. Hey, Jamie, great seeing you. And next week, Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
Cuz Radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
And tomorrow,
looking forward
where?
To it. At the Chickie and Pete's in Malvern, home of a Bet Parks sports book and race book.
Which is fantastic.
Which is a lot of fun, so I'll be on 12 to 3 tomorrow. You get a dose of me next week. It's Eagles Super Bowl week. Nowhere else I'd rather be.
We love you.
Nowhere else
glad
you should
to see
be.
You. Hey, thanks, we're going to have so
you're
much
welcome,
fun.
Jamie.
I can't wait to hear Cuz explain how he either got roped in or created this entire endeavor to get on a Winnebago and drive cross country. Can't wait. It's coming your way next. John Kincaid Show saying, have a great week, everybody. But remember, support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partners, H&H Heating and Air Conditioning, my friends at DelcoHVAC.com, and make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR, because cancer research saves lives. Make it a great weekend, because comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.